Yesterday we were reviewing the topic of smicha, so we pointed out that there is a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rashba regarding gerus. The Tosfos here on Beis on Beis quotes a gemara from Yevamos Mem Vav on Beis, where Rabbi Yochanan says a din, either he was in the Chadish the din, or he's saying over a din that was always there from generations before. Gertzor Shlosha Mishpat Ksiv Bei, that you need a bezin to supervise the gerus. And if a geris is gar ben ola ben atzmo, so he's still not Jewish. The geris is not chal. The Gemara says even ma'akev b'di'evet. Mishamar mishabaviyom and his gayarti ben il ben atzmi. The person comes and he says, "I was tovel in a mikvah, I was mal myself, and I was megar myself, and there was no bezin." So the Gemara says very nicely, he's not Jewish. So the Gemara has a whole discussion: is he neman with respect to his children? Because for the last many years we assumed that he was Jewish. He always gave him aliyahs and shul, and he married a Jewish girl, and he had children. So how does that affect his daughters? The wife is Jewish. The wife we know is from a Jewish family, just that the husband is not Jewish. So the children are going to be Jewish anyway, but if the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish, so the daughter is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara has a discussion: is the man believed now to tell us that he was always a non-Jew, and that he converted, and the conversion was no good? And therefore his daughter is not allowed to marry a kohen, or do we say no, the daughter is becheskes kashas? We always assumed the husband was Jewish. We always assumed their man was Jewish. We always gave him aliyahs, and he married this Jewish girl. So the daughter is allowed to marry her. So the Gemara assumes beferish that the bezman is likuva. The bezman for the geris is likuva. So on that din, that a gertzor shlosha mishpat sibei, because it's learned out from zelos machavolus, just like by a din Torah zelos machavolus, you need Shlosha smuchim, so too by a ger, you need shlosha. So that was a machlokes Tosfos and Rashba. So too by a ger, you need shlosha smuchim. So too by a ger, you need a bezin of three, but they don't have to be smuchim. So Tosfos, at least in one opinion, writes that nikar adin, you're learning out from Gzeilos v'Chavolos that you need shlosha smuchim. And the fact that we today, the Balei HaTosfos living in Europe, in France and Germany, have the ability to accept gerim, we don't have any smicha, so Tosfos says shlichus taiko abdinon. We have the right to act as shluchim shlichus taiko moi. Man hagemor, the Amoroi mebobol, who didn't have smicha, would act as shlichus taiko of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael who had smicha. Man is it, there's nobody alive who has any smicha. So we are all shlichus taiko moi. We are all acting as shluchim of those Rabbanim from 1500 years ago who had smicha at that time. So the Nesivas pointed out, the first Sifkotin, Simon Alas Sifkotin, the first Nesivas Chashmishpa points out that Tosfos obviously is of the opinion that Shlichusai was their Raisa. It doesn't make sense to have a ger midirabbana. In our Torah, he's not Jewish, midirabbana is Jewish. It doesn't make any sense. So that's Tosfos' opinion. And the Rashba quotes this Tosfos and he disagrees. And he said, it doesn't make sense. That's exactly his argument. Shlichusayu is only midirabbanan. How can you say that he's a ger based on Shlichusayu? So the Rashba says that the only thing you learn out from Gzeilos v'Chavolos, because by ger it says nishpat ksibbe, the only thing you learn out is that you need a bezon shlosha. But that you don't have to learn out that you need shlosha smucha. How do you understand this, Rashba? You're learning out shlosha, so why shouldn't you learn out shlosha smucha? So we suggested, maybe one can give a different interpretation. Rav Soloveitchik suggested pshat in this... And this Rashba, that perhaps the Rashba is of the opinion that smicha is a din in psak, that if you don't have smicha, you can't paskin. You do have smicha, you can't paskin. That smicha is only needed when the bezdin is going to give a psak on something, a din terim, mominis, knosis, malkis, golus, niso, some kind of a din terim. But if it's just going to be a bezdin that supervises a geris, to oversee the geris, that it should be under the supervision of a bezin, and the bezin isn't going to paskin anything. If they're going to have a shayla about the geirus, the details, they're going to ask someone else. They themselves are not going to paskin on the shayla. So such a bezin doesn't require a smicha. The only reason why members of the bezin need smicha is because normally, under normal conditions, the bezin has to issue a psak. So to issue a psak, you have to have smicha. But just to be members of the bezin, where the bezins are going to do a maisa bezin, there's no need for any smicha. So we, Rav Soloveitchik, elaborated upon this. He showed that this seems to be the Rambam's opinion as well, that smicha is a din in psak, smicha is not a din in bed. So we said that a good haichacha would be, a good marker would be from the Mishnah, mitzvah chalitza, that's the way the din always was. Not that it changed in the later generation because smuchim were not available. Bizman ha-tanoim in Eretz Yisrael. When every other person in the street had smicha in the summer, they were all tanoim all over the place. Still, it says that the chalitza doesn't require shloshes smuchim. It's enough shloshes hedyotas. Why is that? So one could, according to the Rashba, one could understand it very well, because chalitza, the bezin doesn't paskin anything. We know what the din is. Divama lo si eshes hameis achut to lizar. She's not allowed to marry anybody else until she does the chalitza. So there's no shayla. What's the shayla? Did she do the chalitza or not? So she said she did the chalitza. What's the shayla? So children of Lar Chumash know that din. There's nothing to paskin over here. Until she does the chalitza, she's not allowed to marry a stranger. And once she does the chalitza, she can marry anybody she wants. The only halacha is that it's a maisa bezin. The chalitza has to be done under the auspices of a bezin. So that's a bezin that's not paskining anything. So according to the Rashba, we understand why the bezin doesn't need any smicha by the chalitza. According to Rashi and Tosfos, according to Tosfos' opinion, the Tosfos holds that smicha is a din in bezin. It's not a din in hoira. It's not a din in psak. But Tosfos held that mikra din, the bezin of geirus, did require smicha. Just as man as that, we don't require smicha because of shlichusayu, because of derisechem, whatever new reasoning you come up with. But mikra din is mana bimare. They did need smicha for the bezin of geirus. So according to Tosfos, you have to say the chalitza is a yaitzim min haklal. The Mishnah learned it out from a pasuk that the three members of the bezin for chalitza don't have to have smicha. They can mishloish of yaitzim. But mikra din, every bezin, even a bezin that's not going to paskin anything, also requires smicha. So that's what we discussed yesterday. So we mentioned, according to this Rambam and the Rashba, the smicha is a din in psak. And without smicha, you can't give a psak. So how is everybody giving psak in this man if nobody has any smicha? The smicha has to be yish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, and it has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. And the chain of transmission has been broken already centuries ago, over 1,500 years ago. So how does anybody issue any psak in this man if? So we said over from Rav Soloveitchik, the people who paskin today, even big Talmid Chachamim who paskin Shailas, it's taken not called the psak. It's just like the Minchas Chinuch uses the expression. I'm just giving you references, you can look it up on your own. So the Talmid Chachamim, they just say, if you look in the Gemara, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you see that that's what it says. But it's not that what they say has a Chal Hashem psak. It's just to use the terminology of the Minchas Chinuch, Marim Makam Ani Lo. I'm just giving you the Marmukas. Yeah, but the question begs itself, what's the difference? Whether you label it as a Hoiroh, or you say it's just, he's giving him Marmukas, it's not a Hoiroh, but a Chal Hashem Hoiroh. Do we label it? Do we give it the label of a hayro? What's the nafkamina whether it has a label of hayro or not? So that's what we left out yesterday in the Chazorah. So when we learned the first time, we pointed out Rav Moshe Feinstein has Tshuva Aleph in Chelek Kosher Mishpat, the first Chelek Kosher Mishpat, very interesting. Rav Herzog had published an essay on smicha that Rav Moshe was very upset about. Rav Herzog had quoted what the Apikursin say. That originally smicha always was biyad. The person who would confer smicha would have been like Moshe Rabbeinu confer smicha to Yeshua Ben Nun. Samachas Yotkol, he was supposed to put one hand, and the Gemara points out, Vayismachas Yotov Olov, he put both hands on. So the Apikursim are not like that. The smicha always used to be biyad, until the days of the Roman persecution, and then it was so difficult, and they were giving smicha zeh shaloi bifnei zeh, they were running for their lives. So then they started smicha b'shem. They just gave the title, I hereby declare you as a musmach and you are a rabbi and you have a right to be done dinik nosik. But for many generations, smicha was biyad. So Rav Moshe is very upset about that. He says that's a pikusis. It's against the Gemara of the Pharisees that it was only a hirah shown in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the question exactly what the nature of the hirah shaw was. From the Chumash and from the Gemara, you get the impression that only Yeshua got smicha biyad. And you look at the Rambam says the Shivim Zikenim, who got smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu, also got smicha biyad. So it's not that it's a hirashah for Yeshua ben Nun smicha, it's a hirashah for Moshe Rabbeinu, that all of the smichas that were conferred by Moshe Rabbeinu were given biyad. Okay. So Rav Moshe was masik, and he was upset why Chief Rabbi Herzog had adopted this anti-traditional position from the so-called Jewish historians. So there Rav Moshe writes the whole dissertation in the first tshuva, Chesach Mishpat. It's not really a tshuva, it's an essay. It's an essay about the significance and the role of smicha and halacha. So there Rav Moshe has to explain what is the role of smicha. So he says, there is a Mishnah. The Mishnah has the din, am teivav am ebeis, am zokam amre. The Mishnayos have later on other mitzvot bezin. So you have Elohein haNiskolim, Elohein haNisrofim, Elohein haNeirogim, Elohein haNechnokim. So in Elohein haNechnokim, you have the Zokim Mamri gets chenek. So the Mishnah concludes there on Teivav and the base on the last line. Talmud Shohoira Latus Pata Nimsa Chumra Kulo. What if he's a young Talmud who paskins against the Bez Nagol? That's a bigger chutzpah. If he's a big Talmud Chacham, he's older than all the members of the Bez Nagol, and he was their Rebbe. What do you mean they're telling me I can't paskin? I'm bigger than them. I gave them their smicha. What do you mean? So there's still a din. He's not allowed to paskin against the Bez Nagol. There's also a din of a Zokim Mamre. Even though he was their Rebbe, even though he knows how to learn better than them. That's the din of Zokim Mamre. But what if he's a young fellow? A young guy, a Talmud? There's a bigger chutzpah that he issues a psak against the Bez Nagol. So the Mishnah has an expression, because his aver is more chomer than that of a real scholar, an older scholar, that's why he's off the hook. Nimtza chumroi kuloi. Because his aver is more chomer, a bigger chutzpah on his part. The issue of psak against the Bez Nagol. So that's why he's not menash, he's not punished, because that's not called the psak, because nobody's going to listen to him anyway. Because he's a Talmud shalohi giyalo hayro. The only time the Zokim Mamre is chayv misa, the Mishnah says, is if he paskins lahaloche against the Bez Nagol. Let's say he gives a shir in a yeshiva, and he teaches Gemara, he teaches Shulchan Aruch, whatever, Mishnah Brewer. And the Bez Nagol paskin one, but he keeps on teaching the same way he always did. So the Mishnah has chazer the Iro, if he returns back, they had, it says in the Pasuk, if he's going to be given rivis b'sharecho, if there's a machlekes in the community, had a paskin, so he should come to the alisa lamok, and he should go to the Bez Nagol, whatever they say he should follow. So he doesn't follow them. So he goes back home, chazer the Iro, and the scholar who is outvoted by the Bez Nagol continues to teach the same way he always does. So the Mishnah says he's not chayim misa. Chazer the Iro, shana v'limeid, if he keeps on learning Mishnayos and he keeps on teaching. But derech shehoya lameid, the same way he did before, pater. He's not chayiv misa because of Zokim Mamre, because it only says this asher yase bezadon, means that he paskins against them. Vimhor elatus chayiv. Achiyor elatus. That's the connotation of the pasuk. What if he's a Talmud? It's a Talmud. Whatever he says doesn't count. He's Talmud shelo higi eloi ra. So it's never called hor elatus. Whatever he says doesn't count. So how do you define a Talmud? So the Rambam, when he quotes this in Hilchas Mamrim, the Rambam says a Talmud means one who doesn't have smicha. And a higi eloi ra means if he does have smicha. That if he has smicha and he issues a halachic opinion on something, that's called the halashem hor ra. And if he does not have smicha, like today, the biggest rabbanim in the world, nobody has any smicha. So whatever they say is not called a hayro. It's just like Maramakamani Lach, they're just telling you, put together this din and this din, you look in this Yerushalmi and in this Gemara and this Shittim Kopeses, you'll be convinced that this is the din. But it's not that I said anything. I didn't say anything. I've just shown you what it says in the sources. It's not really a hayro. So according to the Rambam, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Smicha is a din and hayro. If you don't have smicha, you're entitled to an opinion, but whatever you say doesn't count as a hayroa, doesn't have a chaloshem hayroa. It's like maramokam anilok, and therefore there wouldn't be any punishment of Zokim Mamre. According to the other Rishonim, however, who say that smicha is a din in Bezdin, it's not a din hayroa. So how do you read the Mishnah, Talmud Shahar Alas is Potter? What's the definition of a Talmud Shehigil or hayroa, as opposed to a Talmud Shehigil or hayroa? So you can't say that it means one has smicha. Smicha is a din in being member of a business, not a din in Hayro. So Rashi sounds like he sides with the Taisus. Rashi seems to hold like the other Mishnayim, the smicha is a din in Bez, not a din in Hayro. So that's why Rashi doesn't learn Pshat. Talmud means one who doesn't have smicha. And therefore it's not a Hayro. Rashi says, if he's not 40 years old. So it says in the margin, on the side of the Masoras HaShatz, in the brackets, it refers it to Saita Chavveis, but the Gemara says that a person before the age of 40 really shouldn't paskin any shilas. I pregged the Gemara, but there were Amoraim who died at the age of 40. So when did they paskin all the shilas? When it was a shanim uberes, between all the rishon and the sheni. When did they paskin all the shilas? That's in Yiddish folklore. They asked if Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar and he died on Zayin Adar. So when did he do the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yams and everything? So the Teretz is it was a shanim uberes. He had 1 month and he did everything. Yeah. So when if he, so the Gemara asked Akasha, if he came, not allowed to pass in the Shiva until the age of 40, but there were Amoraim, Rabbah, was from the Beis Eli, he was a descendant from the Eli HaKoyin, and they all died at the age of 40. So when did he pass in all the Shiva? The Gemara says, if he's the only one in the community, there's no one else there, because then you're allowed to pass even before the age of 40. But if there are others there, and he's not 40 years old, he's not allowed to pass. The Gemara learned that from a Pasuk. Pasuk says in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Israel, after the 40 years of teaching Torah, after Maimon HaSinai, after he's preaching and teaching to Bnei Israel, so he says, took 40 years to transmit the message that he had to teach to Bnei Israel. The Gemara says, you see that sometimes, ain't on a moment, I'll ask Rabbi, Arabayim Shona. Sometimes a person doesn't understand what he heard from the Rebbe until 40 years later. So that's what Tosis points out. So it's not, you really shouldn't paskin from the age of 40. You should paskin 40 years after you started learning. If that guy doesn't really start learning till 18 or whatever, till 20, whatever, he becomes serious. So let's say a guy starts becoming serious and learning at the age of 20, so you shouldn't paskin until the age of 60. The Tosis says, even though it's a good kasha, that's not the din. Even though in the pasuk it appears, that's two long Tosis there in Satan. Even though in the pasuk it would appear you have to be learning for 40 years after you started learning seriously, that's not the halacha. The halacha says it depends on age 40. Sure. So what prompted Rashi to give such a pshat till the age of 40? Rav Moshe points out it's a weak pshat. If there are exceptions to the rule, the Gemara says, Rabbi died at the age of 40. The Gemara asks, when did he do all of the paskening? So the Gemara answers, he was more learned than everybody else in his community. So he had no brayer, he was permitted to pass. The only time this din applies is when there are others who know how to learn, and they can take care of the psak. So Moshe says, so once you have exceptions to the rule, it's not an ironclad rule. It's like a strong recommendation. How can you say that this will determine whether he's chayiv misa or not? If he's a Talmud, if he's before the age of 40, he's not chayiv misa. After the age of 40, he's chayiv misa. But sometimes before the age of 40, you can pass him. So sometimes people will listen to you before the age of 40. So it all depends whether the Zalkamamri is in the community, whether someone else told her or not. Such there, pshat, what Rashi says. So Moshe writes, apparently Rashi didn't like the Rambam's pshat. Apparently Rashi held that smicha is not a din in Haros. Smicha is a din in Bezin. So that's why Rashi had no brera. He couldn't learn like the Rambam. The Talmud Shehigia Lo means that he has smicha. So Rashi had to give this pshat of age 40. And the Rambam held that the age 40, that's a serious recommendation. But since it's not iron class, he can't say that that's so crucial. That's not going to determine whether the guy's going to be chayv misana, since it's not nakeh b'diavad. Are there any other differences, la'alocha, between one who has a psak that's called a chal Hashem hayroa, chal Hashem psak, as opposed to one who just writes a tshuva and he's mar mokam alilo? He wrote an essay. And read it yourself and see all about it, and then you'll be convinced yourself, but it's not really a chal Hashem psak. Are there any other differences? On Shulchan Aruch, there is a discussion of a din in Chumash. It's not exactly a din, beferish in Chumash, it's in between the lines. It says, Yai v'shechar al teish tato v'nach yitzcha b'vayachma lo'el moed. That the Kohanim are not allowed to do avodah when they had a drink of wine, a drink of schnapps, a shikr, shosui, one who drank wine, or a shikr, one who's drunk, is not allowed to do hakrobus hakrobonus. So then the pasuk continues, Alahavdol ben Hakodesh ben Achol ben Atomim ben Ator. What does it mean, Alahavdol ben Hakodesh ben Achol? What it means is that if a kohen does avoid in the state of shikris, so the avoid is mechulelus. Alahavdol ben Hakodesh ben Achol is the avoid mukudeshes, or is the avoid mechulelus? Well, the avoid is akarbon is be possible by the evid. If he's a shikr, it'll be possible by the evid. And if he's not a shikr, then it'll be kosher. Alahavdol ben Hakodesh ben Achol. What does it mean? But then it says, Avenatome Venator. So how does that fit in? So the Gemara understands, and then it says, the Lahoris is Bnei Yisrael. What's the Lahoris is Bnei Yisrael? So the Gemara understands here from the Pasuk that it means an additional din. Not only is there halacha that a shikr or a shasui, shikr means drunk, shasui means you had a drink of wine, not only is a shikr not allowed to do avodah, a shikr is not allowed to pass in any halacha either. He's permitted to give a shir, but it's not allowed to pass in any halacha. So the Gemara says that Rav, the Gemara in Beitza says that Rav, on Yontif, when he used to drink, when he made Kiddush on Yontif, on Shabbos apparently he didn't drink so much, because on Shabbos it's not mitzvah of simchas, he just had a sip of the wine in Friday. On Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of simchas. You have to drink a little more till you become relaxed from the alcohol. So Rav wouldn't give a shir on Yom Tov. Why? Because he was drunk. Big Mark Asher, let him just give a full shir. The halacha just prohibits a shikr from paskening, but he's permitted to give a shir. So the Gemara says, Rav shir was such, there were other Amoraim who would split. They could give a shir, a pilpul, and then they would give a psak. And Rav's shir, the style of shir that he gave was, that whatever pilpul he would be saying, he would always insert some statement, halacha lemaisa. Every stage of the way, every 15 minutes, he would say halacha lemaisa. So that's why he wasn't able to give a shir on Yom Tov, because a shasui is not a lot of pasta. So the shaila is, Rav had smicha. That's the Gemara over here. The Rav and Rabba Bar Chana had smicha on Hamad Aleph. What if it would be somebody who doesn't have smicha? So maybe even if he paskins, maybe it's not called the Lohiris of Bnei Yisrael, maybe it's not called the Hairoah. So there's a Ramah in Yeridaya. When this din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch Yeridaya, the Ramah says that Hadava Hamafurish Bepaskim, a shikir is allowed to paskin. Hadava Hamafurish Bepaskim. Why is that? That he's allowed to paskin. So some of the Nesekelim on the Shulchan Aruch think that there's a misprint in the Shulchan Aruch. They think that a shikir set the type over here. That they made a mistake that it should say Hadava Hamafurish Bepsukim. Because Dava Mefurish B'Psukim, that's not called Hayra. Whatever is in Chumash, the Gemara calls that Zilpri Beirav. The Gemara has the din in Hayriyas. Horu Bezn. If Bezn HaGadol made a mistake and they paskin that Chelev is Muta, a certain kind of Chelev is Muta, a certain kind of Dam is Muta, Chilu Shabbos, Chametz B'Pesach, whatever. And then Rov HaTziba violated the din based on the Psak of the Bezn HaGadol, and then they realized it later on. They reversed their Psak. So instead of requiring that each person should bring his own Chatos, Kizbo Sira, so the Bez Nagano brings the one part on the Avshal Tzibur and accomplishes the Kapara for everybody. So the Gemara says that the din only applies if the Bez Nagano was Hora Lasoy, if the Bez Nagano paskin. If they didn't paskin, then the whole din doesn't apply. What if they were giving a Pilpulim? What if they were talking and learning? No. Only if they're Achiyora Lasos, if they say, this is the din Halacha Lamaisa, they emphasize. Mutorim atem la'asos. They said explicitly, it's permissible to eat this kind of fat. This is not chelev. They said the fairish is mutter. But they just gave lectures, anything less than a hayroah, so it's not. There's no din of parhal and davashal tzimim. So the Gemara says, and what happens if the mistake that the Bez Nagadol made is pushing a mistake in Torah Shabbat, a mistake in Chumash? So the Gemara says, that's not called hayroah. Hayroah is only in the area of Torah Shabbat. Whatever zil kri beirav, go ask a child who's learning Chumash in class. And he'll be able to tell you, if he knows his stuff, he'll be able to tell you what it says in Chumash. The kid didn't graduate to Mishnayis yet. He doesn't know kids in Shulchan Aruch, he just knows Chumash. So the Gemara says in Hayriyas that that's not called the Hayroah. The same thing appears here in Sanhedrin later. The Mishnah had the din of double jeopardy that we learned on Lamed Beis and Alfi, we were discussing yesterday. That Yotzimi Bezin Zakai Emach Ziramoisach, the Bezin of 23 Paskin, that someone is potter from Din and Nefashis, that they can't judge him a second time and convict him. What happens if the first time they made a mistake? They mamish made a mistake. There was a beferish in Mishnah, and they thought that he's potter, and turns out that the Mishnah says beferish that he's chai. So the Gemara says that's also called Yatsumi Bezin Zakai. If the mistake that the Bezin made is a mistake of Dava Mefurish and Chumish, Zilkrei Beirav, that's not called the Hayroah. Or Hayroah, either to say over what it says in Chumash, or to say against what it says in Chumash, whatever is in Chumash, the favorite, black and white, that's not called a Hayroah. Right or wrong, that's not called a Hayroah. Someone's going to paskin, you have to wear tefillin every day of the week. That's what it says in Chumash. If someone's going to paskin that you do it, you don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a question. That's not really explicit in the Chumash. That's a machlokes Satanim. So that would be a question of Hayroah. But to say that you have to wear tefillin on the weekdays, that's a posuk in Chumash, so that's not called a Hayroah. So the Gemara says, Zil Kri Beirav is the reason why it's not called Yotzimi Bezin Zakat, because it's not called a Hayroah, if it's a matter of Torah Shabbat. And it's the same as by the Bez Nagadol, by the Parhal and Dovah Shel Tzibur. So some commentaries on the Yeridaya think that there's a misprint in the Ramah, that what it should read in the Ramah is that Dovah HaMefurish B'Psukim, whatever is explicit in Chumash, it's permissible for a shikah to paskin. because it's not called the Hayra. Whatever is in Torah Shubah Sabbath is not called the Hayra. The whole prohibition against the Shikar Paskining is based on the Pasuk, Yam Shecher Al Teisht, and then it continues to Lahoriz and Bnei Yisrael. You're not allowed to give a Hayra, and there's no Chalashem Hayra on Torah Shubah Sabbath. And others say no, that the source that the Ramah was quoting should be correctly Davam Furish Bapos, not Davam Furish Bapsukim. Why? So some want to say that these Achrayim are talking Bizman Hazeh. The Bizman Hazeh, nobody has any smicha. And smicha is a prerequisite for Hayra. Whoever doesn't have smicha is not in violation of giving any Hayra. So whatever you say, even if you say this is the halacha, halacha lamais, this is the halacha, it's only called Mar Mokam. It's only considered as if he's giving a lecture. But it's not a violation of Lahoriz is Bnei Yisrael. So really the whole din shouldn't apply Bizman Hazeh. The whole prohibition of a Shikar Paskening shouldn't be noig Bizman Hazeh at all. So then the Rama says, no, but if it's not a Dova Mefurish Bepaskin, then we're afraid he may Pashit make a mistake. If the guy, that's what they say on the bottle of wine, no? That when you drink this wine, I drink the schnapps, you shouldn't drive a car and you shouldn't use any precision instruments that you may get hurt because your judgment may be impaired. Yeah, if a person is a little tipsy, his judgment may be impaired. So if it's a Dova Mefurish Bepaskin, his judgment nothing to be impaired. He says, hey, here's the din. Read it. Here's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Here's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Read it on your own. He just gives you the Maror Mokum. But if it's a judgment call, it's something where you do need a judgment, not Mefurish B'Paskin. So then we don't allow the Shikas to pass, not because of the Pasuk in the Chumash, Lahoriz is very so, because the Surgeon General says that his judgment may be impaired. So just like you shouldn't drive a car, you shouldn't use some precision instruments or whatever, so you shouldn't pass in a Shaila either, because his judgment may be impaired. So these may be the two nafkaminas l'aloch according what we discussed within the Ramam and the Rashbo, that smicha is a din in Hayra, and whoever does not smicha can paskin. What do you mean? But it's many generations, many centuries that no one has any smicha and people are paskin shalas right and left. So the answer is no, but it doesn't have a chalashem Hayra. It's only like a maramokam aniloch. So what do you mean a chalashem Hayra? What's the nafkamina whether it has a chalashem Hayra? Doesn't have a chalashem? So one nafkamina is for farham dovashel tzibur. You have to have dafka hayroa. One nafkamina is for zaka mamre. Third nafkamina is for yatsim ibezim zakei machzir ma'isa l'chayva. And a fourth nafkamina may possibly be benegir to the shikar. The shikar asa lohiris is only if it's a hayroa. With mar mokum, then it's like giving a lecture, giving a shiur. Bara halacha bifnei rabo. That was the suggestion, and maybe Bizman Hazeh, the whole dinim Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabba shouldn't apply. All the dinim in the Gemara shouldn't be quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That was his kasha. How come all the dinim in the Gemara are quoted in Shulchan Aruch Bizman Hazeh? Nobody has any smicha, so you're never in violation of Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabba. I don't know. That's a good question. The Gemara has a whole sugya here, a little bit on Hayamid Beis. And then most of the dinim are in Erev in Daf Samach Beis. Taisus there. Taisus on Hamid Beis refers you to Erev in Samach Beis. Perek Hador. The Gemara has a lot more. But Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. So that's the question. The Amoraim there, none of them had smicha there. Rav Chizden, Rav Hunan. They were all Amoraim from Babel. Reverends. They were reverends. They didn't have any smicha. And still the Gemara talks about Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. So that's a shaila. If you hold that Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabba has to have Dafka Hayroa, how does the Gemara apply the whole thing in Bavel? Because nobody had any smith. So it would appear from the Gemara that that's not enough Kamina. That's not enough Kamina. Even if the person doesn't have smith and doesn't have a Chalashem Hayroa, it's still a chutzpah of Meir Halacha Bifnei Rabba. To give a lecture which is Halacha L'maisa oriented, Bifnei Rabba is also the same Yisur. Just to give Mar Mokum Anilach, Bifnei Rabba is also an Yisur.
Still to go disagree.
Right. So it's also that the Talmud is giving his opinion in the presence of the Rebbe. Okay. Then the Gemara moves on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara moves on to explain the Mishnah. Mishnah is clearly listing up Zelus v'chavolus is mammon, Hodos v'chavolus for sure is mammon. Then you move on to Kekel, Dalet v'he, Yonis v'fatam, Vatsi Shemra. This is already Knas. Then you move on to Malkus. Then you move on to Nisa. So we discussed a little bit the three types of Tashlume mammon. all of the chiyuvei tashlumin in the chumash in Parshas Mishpatim are divided into three categories. You have momen and you have knas, and then the third category is called kapara. What would be an example of kapara? Momen and knas. Let's first work a little at a time. What is momen and what is knas? The mammon is when the person pays to make good, to make good the hefsid mammon that the other one suffered, that he's responsible for. If I break your window, or if I allow my behemoth to run wild and to break your window, so it's my responsibility. It's my fault that your window is broken, because I didn't live up to my obligation. If I have an obligation to watch my behemoth, I didn't watch and the behemoth ran and it broke your window. So since I'm responsible for your hefsid, I have to make good your hefsid, that's called mammon. Knas is when I'm paying as a punishment. I did something wrong and I'm paying not to make good the hefsid. How do you know what's knas? The knas is when you pay yoytzeh mimashi hizik, kolam sham yoytzeh mashi hizik, kesel, dalet behei. Or if you pay a fixed amount of money, oynes and mefatim, oytzeh shemra, shloshim shalevet, you pay a fixed amount of money. How can it be that every Eved Knain in the world is worth Shloshim Shalevet? I just thought that the hefsid that the other party suffers is always 50 shkolim. The Mishnah says in Erechim that sometimes it's the man is ma'anis and mefata, a girl who's from a mishpacha bezuya. So the suffering that they have, the embarrassment, the humiliation that they have is worth less. The value is less than 50 shkolim. And if the girl is a big mi'cheset, the humiliation that she suffers is worth much more than 50 shkolim. So it never really corresponds to 50 shkolim. And the shemra never really corresponds to the humiliation. The embarrassment never really corresponds to 100 shkolim. So since the payment that you give, if it's a schum kotsu, doesn't really correspond to the hefsid, so obviously it's an oynish. It's a punishment. It's not that he's mechuyev to make good the hefsid mammon that he's responsible for. We want to penalize him for doing some avla. It's an oynish for the avera that he did. That's why we have the din of moide b'knasas potter. What is the mocker of that din of moide b'knasas potter? So the Gemara Bava Kama and Daf Ayin Beis learns it out from Pesukim and Chumash. The Gemara there has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. What's the din of moide b'knasas lahakaf bo eidim? Maybe moide b'knasas potter means if there are no witnesses whatsoever. So normally the din is in mammon, hoidaz baldin kimeidim dami. So in knas, the din of hoidaz baldin kimeidim dami doesn't apply. You say moide b'knas is not chayiv. But you say that moide b'knas is not even chayiv even if witnesses come later on. So dalmei hacha, forget about the fact that he was moide. Ignore his hoidaz baldin. Hoidaz baldin does not apply to knas. But still, why should he be potter if witnesses come later? So that's the machlekes Rav Shmuel. And we paskin that you potter even if acha kafo eidim. So the Gemara presents this machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So they start the whole presentation of where are the psukim in the Chumash? Where does it say? Where is this din derived from? The moide b'knas potter. Where does the Gemara come off to say the halacha that moide b'knas achakach bo'edim is also potter? So the Gemara develops all the psukim. So the Gemara says based on the pasuk in Mishpatim that says in himatzei simatzei biyado haganev misharat hamaratzeh chayim shnayim yishalem. That again it pays the kefil. What does it say? In himotzei simotzei biyado hagneva. So the Tanoim understand that the kefa loshen means himotzei means that you have to catch him. The police have to catch him red-handed with the gneva biyado. So biyado is bishusa. Okay, doesn't have to be in his hand. So they have to catch him with the gneva in his apartment. And what if he stole something and he ate it up already, or he stole it and he sold it and he no longer has it? So that's not called himotzei simotzei. He's also going to be chayv kefa. The Gemara says himatzei doesn't mean the police caught him with the gneiva biyado b'shuso. Himatzei means himatzei b'yedim, and himatzei b'dayanim. Himatzei the kefa lashon. We darshan lashonis tefulim because we assume like Rabbi Akiva lo diber terek l'shem b'nei adam. Maybe the other Tanner Rabbi Shmuel would disagree. He says diber terek l'shem b'nei adam, and he never darshan lashonis tefulim. But by us, it's standard. We know that whenever there's a kefal lashon, so the Gemara darshan something. But we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion, who says that lo dimeter kolishem b'nei adam. So whenever you have lashonis kfulin, it has the mashmoes for a drasha. So here it says in himatzei b'yadam aganev. The Gemara darshan himatzei b'edim. Himatzei b'dayon. What do you mean himatzei b'edim? That by the biknas doesn't apply. You have to have Dafke Hagoras Eidim. Moed Biknas is Eino Neman over here. How come Moed Biknas is Eino Neman? So the Gemara quotes two psukim. One pasuk is Himatzi Simatzi Himatzi Biedim Temotzi B'dayon. The Gemara has another pasuk, Asher Yashion Elohim Yishalim Shnaim L'Reyeu. So the Gemara says, Asher Yashion Elohim, only if the Bezdin, Elohim Rosh and Chol, if the Bezdin declares that he's Chayv, Prakul Mashiach Satzma, to the conclusion of the case where he's Moedim Iknas. Those are the two psukim that the Gemara says. The Gemara says, what do you need two psukim to say the same thing, that Moedim Iknas is Potter? The Gemara says, it must be that it tells you, Moedim Iknas, not only is not Hoidos Baldin Kimeidim Tamin, Moedim Iknas remains Potter even if Achakach Bo Eidim. Even if Eidim come later on, Moedim Iknas Bachakach Bo Eidim is also Potter. So from that Loshin, Asher Yashian Elohim Praklam Ashiach Esatzmo, the Tanoim formulated a cloud, Ein Oda Meis Masmei Roshan. A person has no nemonis to say about himself that he did an aver. Ein Oda Meis Masmei Roshan. What does that have to do with Moed Biknas Potter? Apparently that is the nature of the din. That's what the Gemara says in Baal Kamala. That's what this Potter is telling me. That Moed Biknas is Potter. Where do you see that in the Potter? It says, Asher Yashin Elohim Praklam Ashiach Asakvon, that Ein Oda Meis Masmei Roshan. Apparently, the Gemara understands that these two are identical. The two kolalim are the same. The kolal that Moed Biknas is Potter is the same as saying in order meis matzmei roshah. Since you only take nas as a punishment for having violated an avera, and it can't be a self-imposed punishment, the punishment always has to be imposed by the bezdin. So if it's Moed Biknas, if he's Moed that he did an avera, bezdin has no right to believe him that he did the Avera. Ain't on a base matzmarosh, he has no namon. So that's why the Bezin cannot paskin based on his self-admission that he's chayiv to pay the knas. So this pasuk of Asher Yashin Olehim Prakam Asher Satzmo is really the mocker of the din of Ain't on a base matzmarosh. That's what that loshen means. Ain't on a base matzmarosh. So knas is really an onish. It's a punishment like Malkus is a punishment for having violated an Avera. And Misa is a punishment that no Yiddish for having violated an Avera. So Knas is also a punishment. Knas is also a punishment for having violated an Avera. What's the din of a cotton shehizik? A cotton is a labar onshin. A cotton murders, you can't give him the death penalty. A cotton does eat chazi, you can't give him all this. What's the din of cotton shehizik? So the Mishnah in HaChayvel says, "Acherish out the cotton to giyosam ra." Don't start up with a little kid before bar mitzvah. Heim shachov lebacherim pturim, achem shachov lebaim chayovim. If you beat him up, you have to pay, and if he beats you up, he doesn't have to pay anything. Because he's a cotton. So there's a question in Rishonim over there. What does that mean? You can't collect heim shachov lebacherim pturim. You can't collect bikat nuso because you can't have a din tor against the cotton. Just wait till the kid becomes bar mitzvah. Then you can bring him for the din Torah, for the hezek that he did 5 years earlier. When he was 8 years old, he knew what he was doing, and he broke someone's window. So now you can't make him pay. Heim shachov lebacherim pturim. If he beats someone up or he breaks the window, he's fucked. Then maybe after he becomes bar mitzvah, then you can make him pay. Or should you say no? The Mishnah says heim shachov lebacherim pturim. Pturim is pturim. So there's a famous Hagos HaShri on the side of the Rosh. So quote that Rashi on the Gemara. The Gemara has in Bava Kama Daf Kuf the Machlekes Hatanaim of Danin and Dina de Gami. Machlekes Amei and the Rabbonim. Danin and Dina de Gami or Loi Danin and Dina de Gami. Maybe only Yodam HaMazik be Adayim directly. If you're Mazik indirectly, we say Gromim and Ezik and Ezpata. What if it's half indirect? It's a little bit indirect, but it's not that indirect. So we call that Dina de Gami. Half indirect, so that's a Machlekes Amei and the Rabbonim. We pass like Ramei, that's Yechai. So the Gemara says that Raphram was older than Ravashi. So Ravashi was a wise guy. He once burnt a shtar shel chaveiro. Ravashi, the holy Amora Ravashi, who went to the Talmud Bavli, burnt someone's shtar. Medina de Gami, he was Mazikin. So Raphram made Ravashi pay for burning Hasarev shtar shel chaveiro because Dainin and Dina de Gami. So Rashi on the side of the Gemara can't believe it. Ravashi burned someone's star. Where did he get such a mishigas? So Rashi writes, he was a little kid. Shastarav star bi alduso. That's how Rashi writes. Shastarav star bi alduso. He burned someone's star when he was a little boy. So the question is, how old was he? What do you mean, Bial Dusa? Before Bar Mitzvah, after Bar Mitzvah? So the Hagos HaShvi is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Hagos HaShvi on the side of the Rashi understands the Rashi to mean the Ravashi was a tzaddik at the age of Bar Mitzvah. So he burnt the shtar before. He was a wild kid before Bar Mitzvah. He burnt some of the shtar. And they made him pay after his Bar Mitzvah. They made him pay for burning for the hezek that he did, the katnuso, after he became Bar Mitzvah. I says in the Mishnah, Cherishot to the katn, Pigiyosim roa, him shachol b'chem p'turim. P'turim doesn't mean pata. It means you can't bring a dintarit against the katn. Called man that is a katn, you can't bring a dintarit. But just wait till after the kid's Bar Mitzvah, then we'll send him a hazman and we'll proceed with a dintarit against him. That's how the Rambam writes katn shalova. The famous Rambam. The Rambam writes katn shalova, Chayv l'shalem l'kishayagdil. The Rambam writes, if a little kid before Bar Mitzvah borrows $100 and he knows what he's doing, so he says he becomes b'choyiv to pay, because that's a his chayv is midas the Torah. The Rambam understands the Torah doesn't impose any chiyuvim on a kotn. A kotn is a lot bar chiyuv. But if the kotn accepts his chayv is midas on his own, so then the Rambam says that he is b'choyiv to pay. But then the Rambam ends on kotn shalava, chayv l'shalem l'kishayagdil. You can't make him pay now, but you'll do so. How can you make a dintar against the kotn? You can send him a hazmona after his bar mitzvah, then we'll make him pay. So Rashi holds it. Not only is that true, but again, to kotn shalava, Rashi learns in the Gemara, kafir rafram l'ravashi, rafram made ravashi pay for the sorev shtarchoy shalchaveiroi. Ravashi burned someone shtarchoy. What got into him? Why did he burn someone shtarchoy? So Rashi says, he's a little kid. Before bar mitzvah, he's a little kid. The others say no. Then he was a wild kid after Bar Mitzvah also. Before Bar Mitzvah, how do you hold him responsible for a Maisa Hezek that he did? It means he did the Hezek B'Yaldusa after Bar Mitzvah. But Agos Ashri understood the Rashi. The Sorosh Tal B'Yaldusa means B'Kapnusa. So he holds that a cotton Shehizik is also Chayiv to pay. Cotton Shehizik, cotton Shechovel is also Chayiv to pay. So what would you say a cotton Sheganav is Chayiv to pay Kefo? Dal is a hay. And if the cotton knocks out, the cotton has, let's say, an Evik 90, and he knocks out someone's Shen V'ayin, so the cotton has to free him, has to free the Evik 90. The Evik 90 is going to be Shen V'ayin. So I think there's a Mechilta that says that not. That a cotton who knocks out the Shen V'ayin of his Evik 90, as the cotton of Evik 90, his father died, he left him a Yerusha in Evik 90. So the little kid knocks out the Shen V'yayin of the Evik 90. So the Mechilta says he doesn't have to set him free. Why? But the answer is because that's a Knas. Even if you hold like Rashi, that a Kotten Shehizik is Chayv L'Shalem, L'Kishayagdil, even if you should adopt such a position, but that's only a moment, Yimuchuyiv. But Knas is an Oynish for having done an Avera. Kotten is for sure, La Baronshin. He's not a Baronshin, not only Onshe Haguf of Malkus Amitza in Golus. He's not a Baronshin of paying Knas either. So to let the Evit Kanani go free, B'Shem B'Yayin, the Gemara in Bava Kama considers that a Knas. It's also a Knas that the same motive of Knas is possible. We raised the, Rav Soloveitchik raised the possibility. Not my shtickle term. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a Gemara later. The Gemara has a Havamina. Very fascinating Havamina on Lamed Hay on the day. That maybe the Bezdin would be permitted to administer Misa's Bezdin on Shabbos. How so? It's a malacha. Netilas neshama. No, you kill someone. It's a malacha. Killing the guy, like you do on the weekdays also, you give Misa's Bezdin, you kill him. And that's a pasuk that you give Abri Misa's Bezdin. But the Shabbos, if you administer Misa's Bezdin on Shabbos, so it's a malacha. So what's the heter to be Mechal Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Misa's Bezdin? So the Gemara builds up a whole kavachayim. You have, if A is greater than B, and B is greater than C, then A is greater than C, that's also called the Kal V'chomer. Yesh V'chomer Sain Mona. A is greater than B, and B is greater than C, so A is greater than C. So the Gemara says, Misas Bezdin is such an important mitzvah, is Deicha HaKrovas Kol HaKarbonis Kul. Because the Pasuk says, Mi'im Bizvachi Tikrachen Olohan. In Mishpatim it says that if a Kohen murdered someone, and he's the only Kohen in the whole wide world to be Makrov Karbonis, and if you're going to administer the Mises Bezin that he deserves for murdering someone, for worshipping Abu Dazara, for being Goal Al Ho'erva, whatever the fellow did, whatever good to Maisin Tobin that he did. So if you give him the Einish Mises Bezin, you won't be able to have any Hakrovas HaKorbonis, period. Swapesh case. So the Pasuk says, don't worry about it. If he's chayiv misa, he's chayiv misa, and don't worry about the hakrovas hakabonis. So what do you see? That misa's bezdin is more chomer than hakrovas kol hakabonis kulam. And then you have a din that hakrovas karbonis tzibur adoicha Shabbos, midimum asafim akrevim on Shabbos. So you have A is greater than B and B is greater than C. Mises Bezin is more important than Akrobus Kol Akrobonus Kulam. And Akrobus Karbonus Tzibur Adoicha Shabbos. So the A is greater than C. So Mises Bezin should be Deicha Shabbos also. If Akrobus Karbonus Tzibur is Deicha Shabbos and Mises Bezin is Deicha Akrobus Karbonus Tzibur, so Mises Bezin should be Deicha. Mises Bezin should be Deicha Shabbos as well. So that's what the Gemara says. It's a nice Kavachimer. But the halacha says that it's not correct. This is on Laman Hema base. It's a Gemara Yivam. It's also Davavam base. So the Gemara says we have a pasuk like Sevaru Eish B'chol Moish V'Seichem B'Yoyim HaShabbos. What does it mean B'chol Moish V'Seichem? B'chol Moish V'Seichem means not only do you have to observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, you have to observe Shabbos even in Chutz Lord. B'chol Moish V'Seichem, even in Chutz Lord. Why would I have thought that you only have to observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael? Is Shabbos an agricultural mitzvah? Is it from the mitzvah Satli's Boris that should only apply in Eretz? What's the Havam meaning? Why do you need a pasuk B'chol Moish V'Seichem? So the Gemara says no. The word B'chol Moish V'Seichem in this pasuk, there are other psukim where it says B'chol Moish V'Seichem, that's not a problem. Why does it have to say B'chol Moish V'Seichem by Chel B'Dam? Kol Chel Dam lo yisa Chel B'chol Moish V'Seichem Medera Seichem Chukasev. Why do you need B'chol Moish V'Seichem? Why would you have thought that Chel B'Dam is Mutar Chutz Lord? Because chelav adam, maybe you can argue because chelav adam is because it's supposed to be korba gabi hamizbeach. And the mechilta, the first mechilta says, mishenivcharo eretz yisrael, there was no longer a het habamis in chutz lords. So since in chutz lords you can't be makar of any kabbonis, you would have thought that it's muta to have chelav adam. Right. So chelav adam is not bad. But it says in another 15 psukim, mechol mosh v'sechim. So why did the taka say in all those psukim? So there's a long contrast in the klichemdo. Klichemdo is a tilpul sefer hachomish by Rav Meir Don Plotsky. So he has a whole country on B'chol Moish V'Seichem. Why does it say B'chol Moish V'Seichem in the 15th Sukkim in Chumash? Where would it be? 15, 20? I don't know. Why does it say so many times B'chol Moish V'Seichem? So he works on it. He tries to explain why you would have thought that the din shouldn't apply in Chutzlah. So here the Gemara says, this pasuk, Lo Savareish B'chol Moish V'Seichem V'Yayim HaShabbos, doesn't mean B'chol Moish V'Seichem all over the world, wherever the Jews happen to live, they have to observe Shabbos. Of course. Of course, Shabbos is a chavis aguf, as opposed to chavis karka. It's not an agriculture mitzvah. Of course, it applies to bein boris bein mechutz lord. B'chol Moish V'Seichem means even Moshe Bezin. That even though you can argue the point and build up a whole kal v'chomer, that A is greater than B and B is greater than C, so therefore Mises Bezin is greater than Shabbos, so should be Deicha Shabbos. So the pasuk B'chol Moish V'Seichem tells me that Mises Bezin is not Deicha Shabbos. That you're not allowed to. Okay, so the Pashtus and the Gemara is, this was a, I would have had such a Kal V'Chomer, and the Pasuk tells me not to make the Kal V'Chomer. So if you'll administer Mitzvah Bezin on Shabbos, you'll be a Mechal Shabbos. The Pasuk is Megala that the Kal V'Chomer is incorrect, that Mitzvah Bezin is not Deicha Shabbos, and the Meili, you're not allowed to administer Mitzvah Bezin on Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos. The Rambam is very strange. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah, the whole Mishnah Torah is based on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam lists off two lois esseis by Shabbos. He says on Shabbos you have two mitzvahs esseis and two mitzvahs lois esseis. Zoch v'shamer are two mitzvahs esseis and chumash, and then you have two medibri kabbalah, kibud v'yoinik and Yeshaya. For us on the Shabbos anyway, because Dosh Hashem mechubot, so kibud v'yoinik is medibri kabbalah, and the two in chumash that are the rice are zoch v'shamer, and the two lois esseis are not to do melacha and lo sevareish b'chol moish v'seichem, not to administer mitzvahs bezin. So the Morgan Abraham in Hilchas Shabbos on the Shulchan Aruch, here's Takash on the Rambam. Why does he count that as a separate loisese and not to administer Mises Bezin? Not to administer Mises Bezin is a malacha of Netilas Neshama. The Gemara had a Havamina that A is greater than B, B is greater than C, C is greater than C. So it came out of Pasuk that it's not so. Once you know it's not so, so it's not so. So it falls back into the category of malacha. Why does it deserve to be counted as a separate mitzvah and the mitzvah's loisese? So many Achrayim point out that the Rambam Avnei Nezer has this, many, before, after, and Menmul Kasha put out a whole sefer on the Rambam, Vahamechilta, the Rashbi. Menmul Kasha, anybody ever hear of Rabbi Menmul Kasha? He wrote the Chamish Shulchan Mishay Torah. That's what his grandchildren thought. So in the Torah Shleima, it says, Bereshis, written by Rabbi Menmul Kasha. He didn't realize that he wrote the commentary on the bottom of the page. He was the one who published the Torah Shleima. He collected all the midrashim and all the gemaras. So before he put out the Torah Shleima, that major work, so he put out a volume, a sefer, HaRambam HaMechilta DeRashbi. To what extent did the Rambam derive halachas from the Mechilta DeRab Shim Bar Yochai as opposed to the Gemara? So he points out that quite a few dinim in the Rambam, with the nice kelim standing on the head and pulling the hair out of the head, they can't understand how did the Rambam get this from the Gemara? And the answer is he got it from an outside source. That we know. The Rambam used Tosefta's and Yerushalmi's. The Vilna Gaon writes on the Rambam, Kidarka Lipsika Yerushalmi Negan Habavli Bekama Mekami. The Bir Agro writes like that. That very often there are Shverer Rambams, and the Lechem Mishnah stands on his head. Where did the Rambam get it from? He must have been bothered with Tosefta's Kashin. He holds the Maskana. It's not so, it is so, whatever. It's austere, it is Gemara. And the answer is, no, it's a Yerushalmi. The Rambam passes like Yerushalmi against the Babli. It's not to be understood, because the Rambam himself gives a whole explanation in the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, is why we should follow the Babli against the Yerushalmi. But we know that he himself followed the Yerushalmi, become a Mekayim, it's Negen HaBavli. And he quotes Rebbe. He quotes Sifreis, and he quotes Mechiltas, and he quotes Tosefta's, and he quotes Chuvas Agayim. He quotes all kinds of outside sources. So Rav Mendel Kasher put out this sefer, HaRambam Mechilta de Rashbi. To what extent did the Rambam base halachas and Mechilta de Rav Shem Bar Yochai, things that don't appear at all in the Gemara? Sometimes they're against the Gemara, sometimes they don't appear in the Gemara. So he has a whole sefer. So this is one of the examples that he has. That this whole Rambam, that the Rambam understood, the Kal V'chomer is true. Halacha L'maaseh, the Kal V'chomer is correct. The Mises Bezdin is Decha Shabbos, and it's not an act of Chilul Shabbos. And if the Bezdin will administer the Mises Bezdin on Shabbos, they won't be considered Mechal Shabbos. It's just they'll be on violation of Allah Sese, Allah Sebarech, B'chol Mashosech, B'yayim HaShabbos. They violated the Yisra of Osa L'ha'anish B'Shabbos. That's the Magen Avraham points out this difficulty in the Rambam, and that's the answer that the Neza and many of the great Achrayim give this answer, that the Rambam holds that this is a separate law. The Kal V'chomer is really correct. It's not a violation of Chilul Shabbos. It's a separate Issa Shalom Lahanish B'Shabbos, and it could well be that according to the Rambam, if you put somebody in Cherem on Shabbos, there's not a Tilis Neshama. The guy's walking around, he's breathing, he didn't die at all. It could be that if you put someone in Cherem on Shabbos, that would also be a violation of this Issa Daraisa of Shalom Lahanish B'Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik said he was wondering to himself, what if you force a person, the Bezin forces a person to pay Knas on Shabbos? So there is a Din Mid the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to pay up any Chodesh on Shabbos. It's Zeir Hashem Yichtov. So it's more on the end of Shabbos in Perek Shoyel. That's why we don't allow a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. If the Yom Lamed Aleph falls on our Shabbos, so we postpone the Pidyon HaBen till after Shabbos and after Yontif, because you're not allowed to do Piron HaChoyv on Shabbos and Yontif. So mid the Rabban, we know that it's prohibited to force a person to pay the Knas. It's also for him to pay the Knas on his own also. Not only if he's paying in cash, if he pays in cash, it's Muktzah, let's say he'll pay in something that's not Muktzah. It's still also because Piron HaChoyv is also in the Rabban, Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. But it could be, Rav Soloveitchik said, it could be that it would constitute an Issa Daraisa as well, of Osa Lahanish B'Shabbos. He wasn't sure whether this prohibition of Lo Sabarash B'chol Mashosech M'shalo Lahanish B'Shabbos applies to Knas or not. The stomach Knas is an Oynesh, but it's not an Oynesh Aguf. It's not like Cherem. A Cherem is a curse that the person should drop dead. And when he dies, ultimately we attribute the death to the curse that we placed upon him. Well, it's not an Oynesh Aguf, it's an Oynesh Abmam. So that's Rav Soloveitchik wasn't sure whether this Issa of Shalom Lahanish B'Shabbos would apply or not. It's not.
This
That the Pasuk tells me that it is a Malacha.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. So I guess that's what he relies on in the Chilta de Rashbi against the Gemara. I guess that's probably what Rabbi Mendel Kasha has. That the Gemara is beferish, that the Pasuk teaches me that it is Chilul Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do it because it is Chilul Shabbos, not because of a side prohibition, because Shalom Lahanis to Shabbos. But the Rambam follows this in the Chilta de Rashbi, that it's a separate issue. I don't know. That's what it looks like. So again, there are three chiyuvei mammon. There's mammon and there's knas and there's kapara. So mammon and knas, we know what the difference is. Mammon is when you're obligated to pay to make good the hefsed mammon that the other one is suffering, which is your fault. I borrowed $1,000 and I have to give back the $1,000 because I borrowed it from you. I broke your window that's worth $1,000. I understand that I'm responsible. I allowed my animal to break your window. I had my animal run loose. So it's my responsibility to pay. But if you pay knas, you're paying yosem imashe hizik, so that's not to make good the hefsed mammon that the other one suffered. So that's already a punishment. That's an oinish. It's not an oinish aguf. It's still an oinish though. So that's why we say a kotn is a la baronshin. A kotn, even if you all like that Rashi and Bavakame, that a kotn shehizik chayv l'shalom l'kishe yagdil, but it wouldn't apply to knas. That's a mechilta on shen v'yayin, that a kotn shehoitzi shen v'yayin shalevik naini doesn't have to set him free. Because Shem the Yayin, setting free the Evik Naini is an Einish, a Katna, a La Baronsh. Yeah. What's the story regarding Chatzi Nezek of Shor Tam? So that the Gemara here on Gimel Amar Aleph towards the bottom alludes to the fact in Bava Kama that says Bava Nal is the big Sugya. Here the Gemara just has three lines about it. The Gemara alludes to the Sugya in Bava Kama where there's a Machlokes Hamaroyim. Whether Palganiska Knosso or Palganiska Mamayna. The Machlokes is, how do you understand the Chumash that says that the Baal HaShor only pays Chatzi Nezek by a Shor Tam? Why this compromise? Why Chatzi Nezek? Is it that he really shouldn't be held responsible at all? Stam Shvarim Abechez Kashima Kani. The Behemoth does the Kavanosa Lahazik. That's irregular. That's not normal. That's Mishunah. I'm not mechuyif to watch my behemoth from a hezek that's mishunah, that's abnormal. So it's not really my responsibility at all. So the Torah makes me pay a chatzi nezek that's really above and beyond what I should really have been responsible to pay. True, I'm paying to cover half of this loss that the other one suffered. He has a hefset of $1,000 and I'm only paying him $500. So I'm paying lemale chatzi hachisor. But the $500 out of $1,000 that I pay is more than I should have been held responsible for. I should have not been held responsible to pay even a penny. Because Tam Shoyim Mechaz Kashim Mekami, you don't have to worry about the Behemah making a Hezek with the Kabanot of Lahazek. So in that case, if you should assume, that's how we pass from Allah, that's the Masonis HaGemar, that Tam Shoyim Mechaz Kashim Mekami, the Pal Ganiska is Knosso. So then what you're saying is that the Chatzi Nezek that he pays is more than he should have been held responsible to pay. He really shouldn't have been held responsible to pay anything. But the Chatzi Nezek that he pays is Yosef Masha, it's not Yosef Masha Izik, but it's Yosef Masha Hoitzakli, it's Mukhil Lishan. And the other opinion anymore that's not accepted is that Paldeniska is Mamayna. What does it mean? That in principle he should have known to watch his animal even not to be Mazik, Baif, and Shel Kavanotelazik. You shouldn't put anything past the behemoth. The behemoth is just as clever as a person. The behemoth knows how to be mazik, kavanasa lahazik in all forms of hazikim. But since it's self-called self, it is kavanasa lahazik, it's a little bit, the guy wasn't thinking, so we give him a break and we say the bala behemoth gets away if he only pays chatzi nezik. But the chatzi nezik that he pays is really half of the full amount. He really should be held responsible to pay the full amount. So whatever he pays, the chatzi nezik that he pays, is Lamalia Sachisans to make good the hefset that he's really responsible for. He is responsible. So in that case, what you're saying is that Paganiska is Mamayna. And we pass you know, you really shouldn't have been held responsible to pay a penny. Shouldn't be held responsible to pay any. So that's the Machloikis in Bava Kama, whether Paganiska Mamayna, Paganiska Knot. We pass in that Chatzi Nezek of Shor Tam is Knot, as opposed to Chatzi Nezek, not all, there's another case of Chatzi Nezek, Tsuris. The Gemara says Chatzi Nezek of Tzuris is Mamon. That's not Knas. That's Mamon. Only Chatzi Nezek of Shor Tam we paskin is Knas. What's the third Chiyuv Tashlum in this Kapara? Once in a long, long while, you have the Torah requires of me that I should pay Mamon. It's neither Mamon nor Knas, but the payment of the money is Betoras Kapara. Where do you have him? The whole Parshas Mishpatim a payment of money that's a kapara. So you have kofer, and kofer yushasolav. If the shor amud kills an adam, if the shor amud kills an ebek, 93 pay shlosh mishalevet, the Mishnah says an erech and does make a difference whether the ebek is worth a dollar, worth $50 million, you pay shlosh mishalevet. So the shlosh mishalevet doesn't correspond to the value of the ebek, so that's a knas. But that's a Mishnah in the end of Elunaris. If you pay shlosh mishalevet, if he's moidan, his own is moidan, his knas potter. But if the shor amud kills a free man, a ben korin, and he pays kofar, so the Mishnah says you don't apply moed b'knas potter there. Why is that? So Rashi says because kufra kapara. Rashi writes on the Mishnah because kufra kapara. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. And kofar yusha solov. If he pays kofar, kofar is kapara. The Gemara Baba Kama is not sure whether kufra kapara, kufra mamayna. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that yes, kufra kapara. What's the difference whether kufra kapara, kufra mamayna? What's the difference la locha? The difference between Mamad Iknas is Maidib Iknas Potter, and it's what if you make him pay on Shabbos, would it be a violation of Lois of Aruesh? It's a couple of nafkeminas. A cotton shehizik is Potter, a cotton shehizik according to Rashi is Chayb Nishalm of Sheyagdil, and a cotton can't be held responsible to pay a Knas because Knas is an Einish. Okay. The difference is between Mamad Iknas. What could be a difference between Mamad and Kapara? So that's what Taisus asks there in Bava Kama. What's the difference whether you label it Simadreita Him, Simadreita Her? What's the difference whether you label it as Kapar, you label it as Mammon? Bottom line, he has to pay the money. So Taisus, in different places, if you put together all the Taisus and they come up with six Nafkeminas Lalo. So one Nafkemina that they give is, can the other party be Moichel me? If it's a Chiyav Mammon, he's the Balabas. He can be Moichel. He can forego it. But if it's a chiyav, I need a kapara. He's not a balabas. If the Rabban Shalom will say, I forgive you, so then I won't have to pay. But if the Rabban Shalom doesn't come down from heaven and tell me that my sins are forgiven, what does it help that the other, the tzatzik and eged says, he forgoes the acceptance of the money? He's not a balabas to be moichel. It's a kapara is not really a chiyav bin adam lachavera. Mammon and knas is bin adam lachavera. But kapara is really a bin adam lamokam. I need a kapara. Taisus has another nakamina. What if I die and I leave karka? Can you collect from the yisoymer? So that's shiva nechasim. You always do collect from the yisoymer. So Taisus says, yeah, that's by momen in knas. You can collect. Is what to discuss collecting from the yisoymer. But kapara is a rule. Ain't kapara lameisim. Once the guy dies, ain't kapara lameisim. What else is a nakamina? Would there be a din of shvuas ha'edus? Let's say I walk over to the two witnesses and I say, I want you to come, bo veheiduni. I want you to come and testify in court that I'm the God of Lador. They don't believe me. Go tell them that I'm the God of Lador. And the guy says, I don't know who you are. And then later on he admits that he knows that I'm the God of Lador. I remember years ago there was a famous Talmid Chacham here in Brooklyn. So he wanted me to work for him. I should fundraise for him. How should I fundraise? Rav Soloveitchik was still alive, and I worked for Dr. Belkin here in the yeshiva. So this rabbi says, he remembers Dr. Belkin from Rodney. He says, you're never going to, he asked me, how much do you make? In the yeshiva, I told him, he says, you're never going to make too much more. I know Dr. Belkin, he's never going to give you a raise. I know him very well. So he says, I should go to all the modern Orthodox rabbis and have smicha from YU and tell them that he's the God of Lador, and they're going to believe me. Because I teach in YU and I learn by Rabbi Soloveitchik. If I tell them that he's the God of Lador, so they'll believe me and they'll give all the money to this prominent rabbi. Okay. So let's say he wanted me to testify that he's the God of Lador. And I say, I don't know. I don't know if you're the God of Lador. And then later on I swear, I don't know. And then later on I admit that I swore falsely. So would there be a din that, maybe in that case there would be, the din of Shua Sa'edas? Only a moment. It's your own moment. The Mishnah has to say, Bova Hiduli, I want to get the first Ali. I'm a Kohen, they're not giving me the first Ali. So the Mishnah says there's no din of Shua Sa'edas. Shua Sa'edas is only a moment. So what happens if I go to the witnesses and I say, his Shor Amuad killed my father, and I want to collect the kofar. I want him to pay the kofar. And I want you to testify. I'm going to come and I'll claim it. He's not going to pay. I want you to call Bova Heiduni. And then the guy swears, the witnesses swear, we don't know, we weren't there, we don't know what it's all about. And then they admit that they swore falsely. And now I can't get the money because Kim and Shigin Shimon Achayz and Magid. Once they said, Ein Ani Yodim L'Chayidu, so they can't testify later on in court. So the Gemara says, in the end of Bava Kama, if the Chiyuv payment is Mammon, then there's a din of Shavuos Eidus. Because Avstaveli witnesses Bova Hiduni Achiyamam. But if the Chiyav to pay is Kapara, that's his Eitzik Kapara. I have no claims on the money. It's not a Chiyav Mamim bin Adam Lahaver. He needs a Kapara bin Adam Lamokam. That guy needs a Kapara. His Shoram Wood killed an Adam. His Shoram Wood killed my father. But it's not that I have a claim, I'm entitled to get the money. He needs a Kapara. But that's not, it's not my claim that I should demand of the Eidim Bova Hiduni. That one else Tosfos has more nafkamina. Kom lebe de rab mine. Tosfos says, kom lebe de rab mine means if you had a vechi of nisa and a vechi of mamin simultaneously, so you don't pay the mamin. So kom lebe de rab mine cancels mamin and cancels knas, and Tosfos says a chiddush, it doesn't cancel kapar. Then there's the Gemara Baba Kama, eid echad is believed by kaifa. You don't need two witnesses. And so it has another Akimina. Hamaytim Echaveir Olav Haraya doesn't apply. Sofek B'mayna L'chumra. Sofek B'mayna L'kula is only when the Mammon is Bein Olam L'chaveiro. If there's a Sofek, whether you have to pay me, Mammon Akhnas, it's me against you. So I say, you're the Mukhzuk. So it's Sofek B'mayna L'kula. But if there's a Sofek, whether you have to pay Kapara, so Taisus assumes that Dava Pasha, that you don't say Sofek B'mayna L'kula. There is no mukhzik. It's not a din Torah between you and me. It's not a din Torah. The din is that you need a kapara. So if there's a suffix, if you need a kapara, suffix there writes a little bit. That's how Taisha is right. Then the first daf in Makkos you have, there's no din of Edom Zayman by Kofar. How come there's no din of Edom Zayman? It's about Sisim like Hashizamam Lasis Liochid. So the Gemara says it's only if it's a noinish or something, but if it's a kapara, so you don't need two edim. The whole parsha of edim doesn't apply. What do you mean two edim and you mazin the edim? There's no din of edim over here. It's like an inyan of isa beheta, just like there's no kasha zanam on isa beheta, so there's no kasha zanam on kapara. All list of nafkaminas. Tosfos has and the Gemara has. You have a whole list of nafkamina. So these are the three types of mammon. Here the Gemara only talks about two out of the three. The mammon with the knas. But in other places, in Bava Kamma, and in Ksubas, the Gemara, in the Mishnah Ayis Trumas, the Gemara talks about more cases of kapara. What else do you have that's kapara? The only case that we have in Mishpatim of kapara is kofar. In kofar Yusha Solov, so the Gemara says it's kufar kapara, it's kufar mamayna. So the maskan is that kofar is kapara. And Taisus works out, what are the nafkaminas la'aloha? What else could possibly be a payment? That's kapara. So that's what Taisus quotes that Mishnah in Trumas. Taisus has this einfall. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that chomish is to misa b'day shamayim as korban chatas is to koris. If a person does an aver b'shegik, which if he would have done the aver b'mezid, he would have been chayiv koris. So if he does the aver b'shegik, he's chayiv chatos. So too, if a person violates an avera, which if he would have done it b'mezid, he would have mechayim nisa b'dei shamayim. For example, azar shachal truma b'mezid. So if he eats truma b'shegik, so the Torah says he has to pay chaymish. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, chaymish is the kapora for nisa b'dei shamayim if he violates it b'shegik. So that's the kapora for nisa b'dei shamayim if it would have been mezid. Similar to chatos is the kapora b'shegik. For Kores, if he would have done the same Aver B'mezid, it would have been Kores. So if he violates the Aver B'shegig, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Gemara is assuming that the Chomesh that you pay by the Zashach al Truma B'shegig is a Kapar. Just like Chatos, Korban Chatos is a Kapar. So that's what Taisa says, that just like by Korban Chatos, you can't knock off a Chiv Chatos by saying Kom Lebe D'Rab Mineh. Let's say at the same time that I was Mechal Shabbos B'shegig, I murdered somebody. They're going to say, Kom Lebe D'Rab Mineh. I don't have to bring a Korban Chatos because Kom Lebe D'Rab Mineh. The Tosfos has a Gemara that you don't say Kom Lebe D'Rab Mineh to knock off a Chiyuv Chatos. The Tosfos says, Hu Adinami, you can't say Kom Lebe D'Rab Mineh to knock off the Chiyuv of a Zar Shachal Shuma B'Shegik that he has to give the Chaymish, because Chaymish is Kapar. The Mishnah says that there's no Mechila, and Chaymish, the Tosfos says, that's the reason why, because Chaymish is Kapar. That's why there's no Mechila. Tosfos developed the whole theme. Not all the Rishonim agree with everything that Taisha said, but they are moedim and mikzvos. They agree to part of the story that there are three categories of chiyuvei tashlumin. There's mamon and knas, kamavur, bigemara, bikamah, and then there's kapara. And the kapara story is a new story. in Shulchan Aruch, I mentioned the Magen Avraham, he asked Akasha and the Rambam, why did the Rambam count in the Sefer HaMitzvot and the Mishnah Torah, why did the Rambam count two lavim on Shabbos, two lavim the rice, not to do Malacha b'Shabbos and Shalom lahanish b'Shabbos, lo sevar reish. But the Magen Avraham asked Akasha, that's not a separate lav, that pasuk is just Megala, that Mitzvot Bezin is not Decha Shabbos, that is a Malacha like all the Malachas, it's not because they're a separate lav. So that Magen Avraham is in Simen Shin Lamed Tes. Because the Shulchan Aruch quotes it over there, that you're not allowed to be manish anybody on Shabbos. So there Rabbi Kiveger has an interesting insight. Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch points out, let's say a guy is a wise guy. He wants to be ma'agin his wife. He wants to leave his wife. They live in Burr Park, whatever. And he's going to leave. He's going away to New Zealand. He doesn't plan to ever come back. He wants to leave his life and wife and Aguna. He's not a Shem Shabbos. He's going to leave on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes the Tzuvah Svarim that you can put him in jail on Shabbos. We don't have any jail. We don't have any prison as a punishment. We don't have any debtor's prison. We don't have anything like prison as a punishment. You have, it says in Chumash, sometimes you put the guy in jail. It says if someone shot someone else, then you put him in jail to see what's going to be. If he dies, then we give him the death penalty. If he doesn't die, then we'll v'nika hamakim. Yoch misala b'chutz ha-mashanta v'nika hamakim. Then we free him. So that's a jail to see that he doesn't run away. Okay, but that's not a jail as a punishment. So sometimes the Bez may decide the Torah sure to punish the person in order to put him in jail, to be mopsed him money, let's say. Every day he doesn't show up and work, so they dock him from his pay. So the Bez may decide they want a punishment. Bez Machmian Shishlam and Adin. So they may decide to put him in jail. So to put somebody in jail on Shabbos, Rabbi Kiveger says that's a prohibition, that's a violation of Asa Lahanish, according to this Rambam. Asa Lahanish b'Shabbos of Yontif, even though there's no malacha involved at all. To put the guy in jail, there's no malacha. There's an Erev. You're not carrying the keys in the street. You just lock them up in the cell. Right? But what if he wants to run away and to be magen the right? That's not a punishment. That's kofin ala mitzvah. That you want to be kofin to do the right thing. So that he says that kind of jail. It's not Rabbi Kiveger's own. He quotes it from one of the early friends. He says that jail you can put him in on Shabbos. But if the Bezin decides as a hayrasha they want to punish the person and put him in jail. They have a right to, but not on Shabbos. They can't lock him up in the jail on Shabbos. So then Rabbi Kiveger has another, he quotes also. Let's say on Pesach, the fellow doesn't want to eat matzah. And on Sukkot, he doesn't want to sit in the Sukkot. So the Gemara says in Sukkot, on Daf Pei Vav, if it's matzah sheni yoichel, and Sukkot sheni yoishev, so makinoso, achetetei nafsho, you beat him up until either he does the mitzvah, he drops dead. You beat him up on Yontif? How can you beat him up on Yontif? What happened to Eman Ishim be Yontif? Rabbi Kiveger says, no, that's not a noinish. We're just trying to educate him. We're just trying to explain to him how important it is to eat matzah. That's just the emphasis. We're being mazbe to him. How important it is. We're not beating him up, the terrorist einish. We're beating him up, the terrorist kaifan ala mitzvah. Like he put the guy in jail in order to force him to give his wife a gift. We're afraid he's going to run away on Shabbos. So that's kaifan ala mitzvah. So kaifan ala mitzvah, you do on Shabbos and Yontif also. But if it's if you beat him up on Shabbos and Yontif, or you put him in jail on Shabbos and Yontif as an einish, l'shavar, not as a kaifan ala mitzvah l'habo, that would be a violation of that Rambam. The Rambam has this new din, she'osa lahanish b'Shabbos of the Yom. That's a simple reading of the Gemara in Ksuvus is like that. Makanosa she'tetzin afsho, beat him up till he drops dead. If he doesn't want to eat the matzah, so beat him up till he drops dead. That's a mere principle. His mom is holding by dying. And he's a man on principle. He's not going to. So he beat him up till he drops dead. So Rav Chaim Heller, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Laharamba, Rav Chaim Heller knew Arabic. So he wrote a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos Laharamba. Basically, it's not a new translation. He left the old translation, the Ibn Tibbon translation, but he touched it up here and there. Wherever it didn't correspond to the Arabic, he touched it up. Kappas, the Heller Rachel, made a new translation that's readable. That's the style Hebrew that we read today. The Rav Chaim Heller's Rambam is also not also not what we would call modern Hebrew. It's the old Hebrew from Ibn Tibbon's time. They just touched it up here and there where the Ibn Tibbon text didn't correspond to what it said in the Arabic. They touched it up. So Rav Chaim Ella has on the bottom of the page, every so often he has a comment. So this is one of the comments that he has. He quotes the Shita Mukubetas and that Gemara in Ksuvas and Daf Cheivav. But the Shita is bothered with this question. What do you mean you keep on beating the guy up and he refuses to eat the matzah? He's such a principled individual. He refuses, and then he's unconscious, and then they say, you're going to eat the matzah. Vein kol, vein oin, vein kosher. He doesn't answer. Of course he can't answer. He's unconscious. So he's not eating the matzah, so we beat him up till he drops dead. What do you want? He's unconscious already. So he quotes the Shita Mukubetas and says, that's what it means. Makanos asher teitzei nafsho doesn't mean till he drops dead, it means till he becomes unconscious. Okay? Okay. It's a little more humanitarian. The simple translation of the word of Gemara means you beat him up till he absolutely drops dead. So Rav Chaim Heller tones it down. He quotes the Shita Mukubetas on Ksubas. It tones it down a little bit. Just you beat him up till he becomes unconscious. That's our people. There are people who know that Shita Mukubetas. They haven't read all the Shitas from Daf Beis to Daf Peivav. They read Rav Chaim Heller Sefer HaMitzvos. That's how they know that one. Chaim Heller read all the Shita Mukubetas from Daf Beis till the end. But the others didn't read all the sources. Okay, and Gimel on the base. The Gemara says, Shlosha min olon. How do you know that by Gzeilas Lachavolas, they need a beznav Shlosha Smuchim? Where does this come from? So the Gemara has a machlekes Hatanaim, Rav Yoshi, Rav Yonason. You add up how many times the word appears in the Chumash, in the Parsha. Since it says the word Elohim, Loshen Chol, when the Sefer writes the Sefer Torah, he writes Bereishis, Bor Elohim, he has to have in mind Elohim, Loshen Kodesh. When he writes Asher Yashian Elohim, he has to have in mind Loshen Chol, not Loshen Kodesh. It doesn't mean that the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to judge the case. It means that the Dayan, Mumcha, is going to judge the case. So since it says either three times or two times Elohim, so you add it up and it adds up to the sum total of three Dayan. Which one of the Midrash HaTorah and Resh is this? You take the Siddur, it says Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, Yishloshes Midrash HaTorah and Resh is Kalvachemik, Zereshavim, Binyanav, etc., etc., etc. From the beginning to the end, this is not one of them. Which one of the Midrash HaTorah? The answer is there more than you give the Midrash HaTorah and Resh is then. Then you have the Brice in the end of Brochus. They have the Brice, the Lamites Midrash HaTorah and Resh is not among the Lamites Midrash either. There are more than 39 Midrash. There are many more Midrash. This is a common midah, shatar and reshes ben. In Bereshis, it says, Eichalo lekem emshim malachto asher osa b'ishbat, kol malachto asher osa, keeps on saying, malachto, malachto, malachas, malachto. So the Gemara says, if you add up how many times the word malach appears in Chumash from the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Le'enei Kol Yisrael, it adds up to 39, which is not exactly accurate. The Achronim says, it's not accurate. So the different shittas and Rishonim how to interpret the Gemara. So one Tana says in the Gemara that is the mocker, that there are 39 Ovis Malach. The other Tanaim say they don't believe that that's the mocker. What does the Malach have to do? The other Malachas, what do they have to do with Malach HaShabbat? And the Gemara has a discussion, Ba'yava Habaisa Lasis Malachtoi, Ba'yosef. Lasis Malachtoi, so the Gemara has a discussion in Malach HaShabbat, is that one of the 39 or not? What has it got to do? It's not Malach on Shabbat, it has nothing to do with the Rebbeinu Shlom, Meshesh's Mebreshes. So one Tana says that's a bona fide drasha gemura. That's a drasha. You add up how many times the word malocha, malachto, malachas appears in Chumash. But here the Gemara has on Tetzvov Amiral. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. When you want to deploy the Hegdish, you have to assess the Hegdish to establish what's going to be the minimum bid that the Gizbar will accept. You don't just open up the auctioning and the guy bids a nickel and then he gives it, the auctioneer gives it away for a nickel. So you have to have a bezin to assess how much the hegdish is worth. And they say the minimum bid we'll take is so much. That's what happened here on Simchas Torah. They were auctioning off something. I wasn't paying attention. I was being mad. They were auctioning something off. So they were auctioning off how many prokim of mishnayis. So the auctioneer wasn't satisfied. So he said, he's not going to accept less than 50 prokin mishnayis or something like that. So they had to jack it up. Okay. So how much of a bezin do you need to establish the minimum bid that they'll accept? How much of a bezin do you need to establish the shivui of the hegdish? So the Mishnah says you need a bezin of 3 on the Taltalim, and if it's hegdish of karka, then you need a bezin of 10. This is kasha bez nafteh. Isn't it a violation of ben bez nafshakot? A good kasha. This is a megillah as a kasha. Isn't it a violation of ben bez nafshakot? The Mishnah appears in megillah also. Same Mishnah. Akakos tishu v'kayim. So the Gemara has Ksir and says, Vav and Aleph, 20 lines from the top. You know, Hani Mili, how do you know that there's such a din of a bezin of 10 to establish the Shavius of the Karka of Hegdish? Or Mashmuel, Asara Kohanim, Ksufim, Biparsh. If you look in the end, the Chumash Vayikra, it says, Hemir Hakoin, the Herach Hakoin, it says the word Hakoin, Hakoin, Hakoin. If you add up a few Parshios, it's not a few Parshios, Achrimos Kadesh Mema, Bahar Bukhu Kosei, no. A few paragraphs, one after the other, about Pidyon Hegdish, guys Magdish a cow, and Magdish a field, and Magdish the other kind of a field, it's the Miklan, it's the Achuzo. So if you add up how many times it says Hakoin, it says 10 times Hakoin. So that's how you know that you need a 10 member bezin. That's from the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem. Or the Gemara says you add up to establish how many defanas you need for the Sukkah. You add up Basukas Teisha, Basukas, Basukas, Basukas. You add up how many times the word basukas appears in the Chumash. But to establish how many zrikas do you need on a korban chatos, li'ikuvo? How many zrikas do you need? So it says you should be zirk al karnas hamizbeach, al karnas hamizbeach, al karnas hamizbeach. So you add up how many times it says karnas hamizbeach. So that's how you establish that you need four zrikas lechatchila. And then just because lechatchila you need four, by kotchim there's a new cloud. If it's not shino, all of akosuv la'akev, then it's only lachatzilu. So this is right in Zvachim Davdala, that's only me the hebe kotchim. The Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem are slightly different in the area of kotchim than from Kol HaTorah Kula. How do places know that that's so? Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem are different in the area of kotchim from Kol HaTorah Kula. Where they get that from? That's a Gemara in Ezel Mekoimon with respect to Lomid Min HaLomid. The Babli says like that. Yushalmi never says. The Babli says like that. That Ein Lemedim Lomim and Alomid Bekotchim. Kol HaTorah Kula. If you have a Yalfusa, I learn out. B is learned out from A with a Kal V'Chomer, a Mamatzinu, a Hekesh, a Zereshava, something. Then I can learn out C from B, and I can learn out D from C. I can keep on learning one from another, and the next one will teach to another one. A Kal V'Chomer, a Mamatzinu, a Binyanav, a Hekesh, a Smuchim. You can keep on going. And in Kotchim, there's a limit. Elamedid lamin and alamin. You can't learn, if B was learned from A, you can't extend B to C. So the Babli says that that's the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem are different in Kotchim from in Kol HaTorah Kula. It's interesting that Achrayim point out that in Yerushalmi never appears. This concept that the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bem are different in Kotchim from in Kol HaTorah Kula never appears. The Yerushalmi presents it that it's a Machalekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Kol HaTorah Kula. Whether lamedim lamed min alamed. The Rebbe Kiva says, yes, you can learn lamed min alamed in Kol HaTorah Kula. Rabbi Shmuel restricts it. He says that's too much. You can't learn lamed min alamed. You can never a din that to learn from B to C, and B was only learned out from A, so you can never do lamed min alamed. So Yerushalmi never makes a distinction between Kotchim and Chulun. There's a long essay describing the difference in the approach of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. It sounds like it was written by some maskilish apikiris. They didn't know who wrote the essay. Somebody Horowitz. They didn't know who this guy Horowitz was. Till they found out he was a Talmud of the Beis Halevi. He was kosher. He was okay. So they reprinted this essay. Very interesting essay. With Bablis, with Yushalmis, with Toseftis, the kind of things we never even look up. So this is part of his essay. But the difference in Derech HaLimud between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And all of the Apikorsim later got it from his essay. Because they didn't know the Marmakaitis. All the Maskilim, they picked up this essay by Horowitz. Now they reprinted it in the Sifri Zuta. In the Sifri Zuta, it starts off with this essay by Horowitz. Anyway, this is one of his comments. So the Gemara has like the Babli hands. In Perik Ezama Kaiman, the whole sugi goes on and on and on, 3-4 blood Gemara. About this cloud with all the details. When do you apply Elamed and Lomin Alomin Bekotchmana? The Tosis in Zvachim Dabdalit has an original idea. They say that there's another difference between the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi Sam and Kotchim and the Kol HaTorah Kula with respect to this cloud. Of Shina Olav HaKosav Liyakid, we require that it should be repeated. If the din is not repeated, we assume it's only Lahatchil and it's not Liyakid B'diyevin. It means by mitzvah. It means by mitzvah. There, whatever is also, is also. What do you mean you need a pasuk to say b'di'evet? It's also l'chatchila, it's also b'di'evet. But by mitzvahs, so the Chumash describes chalitza. Chumash describes how do you perform chalitza. So chalitza, you have rikikir, she spits on the floor, and she removes the shoe, hasaras hasandal, and you have the kriya sapsukim, everybody reads a pasuk back and forth. And then the bezin, after the whole ceremony, after the whole mitzvah is finished, and the bezin says, kochel yosel isha shaliyivnes beisachim. So the Gemara has a whole machlekes hatanayim, how much of this is in kuva. The Gemara derives from sukkim to what extent. So one Tana says everything is makif, from A to Z. The other Tanaim say, no, we pasken only the chalitz is me'akev, the rikik is not me'akev, and the kriyas ha'psukim is not me'akev. And the third Tana has a third shita, that the rikik is me'akev, and the chalitz is ha'sandal is me'akev, and the kriyas ha'psukim is not me'akev. Different shitas, it's all based on psukim. So that's a question. Why did all the Tanaim assume that it wouldn't all be me'akev b'di'evan unless you have a pasuk to say that it's me'akev? This requirement shvashin all of akos liyakev. This is only in kachin, and this chalitza has nothing to do with kachin. So don't you see that shvashin all of akos liyakev is a din in kol haterakulo? So that's what the Chazon Ish, and later years and earlier achrayim, the Mishnah achrayim, Mishnah is negoyim has this, and the Chazon Ish in our time, he died already. Chazon Ish in later years, they point out that they disagree with Tosfos. They say that they don't agree with that Tosfos. Tosfos claims that it's Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Bam are different in Kochim from in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Sheshin all of Akos L'Yakev is one of the Nafka Midrash. So the Chazon Ish thinks that it's not true. He thinks that it's not unique to Kochim. It's really in Kol HaTorah Kulo. Except, let's say, by Chalitza. Would anyone ever have a Hava Mina that if she'll do the spitting and the reciting of the psukim, and they won't take off the shoe? We're not even going to have a half a minute that the taking off the shoe is not me'akev. So he says, no, you have to make up your mind. What's the ikir and what's the tofil? He says, the taking off of the shoe, we call it chalitza. Why do we call it chalitza? Why don't we call it rikikir? He said, the answer is, they always had a tradition. The main mitzvah is the chalitza. And then this comes along. The rikikir comes along with it, and the kriyas ha'psukim comes along. But you don't need a pasuk to say that the chalitza sasandal is me'akev. That's the ikir, of course that's me'akev. Or another mitzvah. So let's say you have a havmina that the lulav and the esrig or hadas ma'arovis, they're not miyakeh. What do you mean they're not miyakeh? That's the whole essence of the mitzvah. You don't have anything, so of course it's miyakeh. So sometimes you don't need a pasuk to say what's miyakeh. You don't have it, so you didn't do the mitzvah. But the question is on some things. Here, the four zrikas on the mizbeah. Achatos lachatzila needs four zrikas on the mizbeah. But there are some karbonos where one zrika is enough lachatchila. So maybe the extra three zrikas are just le mitzvah min amufkar, or le mitzvah bishleimusa. Not mitzvah min amufkar. Le mitzvah bishleimusa, you need four zrikas. But if you'll do one zrika, basically all karbonos are one zrika. And whatever needs two, or whatever needs three, or whatever needs four, that's just for a mitzvah bishleimusa. If you really want to do it, alatzana, you have to tell you, that's the best way to do it. We have some karbonis. Which karbonis only have one zrika? Who says there's Zelma Koyman in the morning? Nobody gets to shul on time. Huh? Which karbonis only have one zrika? The last Mishnah. Chaba Maisa Pesach. It says they only have zrikachas. Kenegara, he said one zrika. Which karbonis have two zrikas? Quite a few. Huh? The Oshon. And the Shlomim, and the Oilo. A lot of Karbonis have two Zrikas. Which Karbonis have three Zrikas? Which Karbonis have four? The Chatos is the only one that has four. Which Karbonis have three Zrikas? There is no such, huh? Is there a Karbon that has three Zrikas? The Gemara in Yuma Doga Patana, who says that Oilos HaTomid has three Zrikas. A regular Oilo has two Zrikas. The Gemara in Yuma has a Tana who doesn't appear in the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a price. He says that Oilas HaTomid is different from another Oilas. You have three Zrikas. Because you have three corners in the Mizbeach have a Yisoy. The fourth corner, as you're looking straight ahead, this corner doesn't have a Yisoy. But these three corners have a Yisoy. So that Tana thinks that these three are Yisoy Mizbach Oilas. The three corners need a Zrika by Oilas HaTomid. By regular Karbala, the Shnaim Shein Arba. These two corners, you take a cup of dam and you splash it on the corner, so it splashes on the both sides. And here you throw the cup of dam, you throw the dam, so it splashes here. That's called Shtayim Shehem Arba. Two zrikas that splash on all four sides. And one Tana holds that Oilos HaTomid needs three zrikas on the three corners that have. So This is what the Gemara is working with such an idea. The fact that there exist karbonis that only have one zrika shows maybe that the basic din is the zrika yiyosef with one zrika. You have karbonis that need two or three or four. That's for the mitzvah bishleimusa. But if you won't do bishleimusa, maybe it'll also be good. And that's how we paskin. That's why we paskin like Basilo. The b'diavad, even a chatos is good with one zrika. So Beis Shammai disagree, it's not true. But a chatos, we learn from the psukim, that is nakid. Yeah, there's some things you don't need a pasuk to say that is nakid. Let's say if the dam will be nishbach, he did shchita kabbalah hailoche, and the dam, he spills the dam and he never gets to do the zrika. So is there a half a minute to think, do you need shina labachosav liyakid? They need a pasuk to say that if he didn't do the zrika, it's miyakid. Is there a half a minute to think that the zrika is not miyakid? So the Gemara says, Kapar b'di loy ashkehan. If there's no zrika sadam, there's nothing to discuss. That's intrinsic to the Mishnah. That's essential. That's to the mitzvah. That's intrinsic. That's essential to the mitzvah. I don't require a shina levakos liyakev to tell me that if you didn't do a zrika, it's no good. That's the definition of a carbon, that you do zrika. But to say that the second zrika, the third zrika, the fourth zrika is not good, that you need sukim. That you have to have shina levakos liyakev. Not necessarily because it's kachim, not because kachim is different. Taisus writes that kachim is different. Taisus is shonim, it's not a taisus. Taisus shonim and abdalid. And Zvachim writes that kachim is different. But there's so many kashas, Rabbi Yosef Engel and Asman, they write there's so many kashas on this. So he says, Bikurim is also treated like kachim. The Gemara says, by Bikurim you need chinelah kaziyah. He says, Bikurim is also kachim. Bikurim is not kachim. You bring Bikurim in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not really a kachim. And Maizu Sheni is kachim. Everything became kachim. He has so many kashas, and the roots of him keep on getting weaker and weaker. So the Chazanish says the Teretz Gola kashas is that the whole premise is not correct. That the requirement of Shina Lavakas Liyaki, he thinks, is not. He's not the first one. He's the last one to point it out. That they say they disagree with that Taisus Shishanim as well. They think that it's a Midah and Kola Tarakula. That just because you have a mitzvah that's described the full way to perform the mitzvah, is by doing A, B, C, D, E. So the Pashtus is whatever is essential to the mitzvah, that's Na'akev. And the rest we would have thought is only if you want to have a mitzvah B'Shalem Musa. So you should always require Shina Levakos and Liyakev. That's the Machlekes B'Sham and B'Tzul. So the Tzul will say it's kosher because the basic Greek is only the first one. And the rest is only for the mitzvah B'Shalem Musa. The Sham is saying no, that it's everything. The two out of the four are Likuvim. Or let's say he did the first Rike, and then he has a Kavanah Pigel when he does the second Rike. According to Beis Shammai, it's possible. According to Beis Hillel, doesn't possible. He didn't even have to do the second Rike. It would have been possible without the second Rike. The second Rike is just for the mitzvah of Shlei Musa, so the Machsheves Pigel can't possible then. Or if you have a Machsheves Shalom Shema, then it wouldn't possible either.
You can't say it.
I don't know, what if the fella did the chalitza at a time that he was able to speak, and then he loses his voice before he says it? They did the chalitza right here. At the time that he does the first Rika, the dam is still in the cult. He can still do another Rika, just that it's still later on. At the time that he did the first Rika, it was Roy to do the rest of his Rika, to do everything. Except that later, something came up, and it's true. So I think it is the same. I think we would make an equation. These are some of the topics to come up. What's the theme of Dalet Omen Aleph on the base? The theme is, there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Yeshem LaMikro, or Yeshem Lamasoris. There is an institution of Kriya Ksiv. What is this institution of Kriya Ksiv? Every so often it says Yishgalun, and we read Yishkavun, something like that. What is this institution of Kriya Ksiv? Where does it come from? So the Gemara says in the Dorim Daf Lamed Ches that Kriya Ksiv is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Obviously it goes on Kriya Ksiv in the Chumash. If you have Kriya Ksiv in the Bim Ksuv, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. But it means, on that level, it means that the one, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who incorporated these Torah into the Kisei HaKodesh, decided to retain the both texts. They wanted one text to be the Kri, and one text to be the Ksiv. That's the pashtus over there. That was the intention from the very beginning. And there's a reason why there's a Kriya in exist. The Radak writes in his commentary on Novi that the Kriya in exist in Nevi'im, he's talking about Nevi'im, I don't think he's talking about Chumash, the Kriya in exist in Nevi'im Aksuvim is because they were Mesuper, because they had different texts, and they weren't sure which text was correct when they were incorporating these Svarim into the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, were deciding to include these Svarim and not others into the Kisei HaKadosh, the 24 Svarim in the Kisei HaKadosh. They didn't know which is the correct text, so they wanted to retain both versions, so they retained one version as a Kri and one version as a Ksi. But that's not usually the way it's assumed. We usually assume that Kri and Ksi and the Vim and Ksuvim is the same as Kri and Ksi and the Chumash. That Miloch HaPchila, the author who wrote it, Baruch HaKadosh, had in mind both. He wanted to have a Kri and a Ksi. He had one Kavana for the Kri and one Kavana for the Ksi. So this Kri and Ksi is an important thing. We have a big problem regarding all the Sifrei Torah. Half of the Sifrei Torah have the word Patsua Daka spelled with an Aleph, and half of them spelled with a Hey, Patsua Daka. So the question is that half of the Sifrei Torah apostle, half of the Sifrei Torah apostle, because it's Chosra Reisachas, Sifrei Torah Chosra Reisachas is apostle, the Rambam writes. So that's the Shagasari assumes like that. And many Poskim assume like that, that all of our Sifrei Torah are Sophic Psulim. Because they have so many sekas in Masoira, a lot of words, but it's questionable whether it's Moli or Chaser, whether it's supposed to be with a Vav or without a Vav, with a Yud, without a Yud. A lot of the words are questionable. So that's a big problem. What do we do with all the Sefer Torah? So the Minchas Chinuch has a Chiddush, where he writes he doesn't think that the Sefer Torah becomes possible because he misspelled Petsua Daka. If you misspell Bereshis and you spell a Samach instead of a Tuf, or you spell Noyach, you spell with a long noon and with a middle or small chaf or something, that's mamash, a misspelling. So if you misspell a word, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle to say the term. But Petsua Daka is not that it's a misspelling, it's a correct spelling if you spell Petsua Daka with a hey or with an aleph. The only thing is, it's not in accordance with the Masorah. The Masorah is supposed to be either hey or aleph. So whoever writes not in accordance with the Masorah is supposed to correct it. But would you declare that the Sefer Torah is possible because it's misspelled? So the Minchas Chinuch Mechadish, he doesn't think that that possible is the Sefer Torah. The same thing if you have a word that's supposed to be spelled Malay, and you wrote it Chaser, so they're both, let's say in modern Hebrew, they write everything Malay. Aharon, Moshe, Mem Vav Shin Hei, Aharon, Aleph Hei, Reif Vav Nun. They write everything in the newspapers, they write everything Malay. So if a guy's going to write a Sefer Torah, he's going to write like modern Hebrew. Moshe is always Malay. Aharon is always Malay. Everything is Malay. Everything, because they know the Kudus, so they spell everything Mole, that it should be easier to read. So the Minchas Chinuch thinks that it wouldn't possible. You should correct it. You should correct it, that it should conform to the Masorah. But even if you wouldn't correct it, he thinks that that wouldn't possible. That's not called Sefer Torah. The Rambam writes, Chosra Reisachas, or Yitra Reisachas, also possible, because yes, it cannot hold on. If you have an extra letter, it's possible, because yes, it cannot. An extra letter is the same as a missing letter. An extra letter means when it's a misspelling. The guy sticks in a letter in the middle of nowhere where it doesn't belong. But if you write Aharon with a Vav, that's not called Yitarei Sachas either. That is the correct spelling of Aharon. That's the Minchas Chinuch Chiddush. But the Minchas Chinuch is more if you write a Kriya Ksiv, if you write it according to the Kriya as opposed to the Ksiv, let's say Habayis HaShaloh Homo. So the Kri is Habayis HaShaloh Homo Lamed Vav, and the Ksiv is Habayis HaShaloh Homo Lamed Aleph. So if you write it HaShaloh Lamed Vav, the way the Kri is, not according to the Ksiv, that's the Minchas Chinuch thinks that was possible. That's exactly what it means. Kri Ksiv is Halacha L'Moshe Misina. It means Kach Nemar Halacha. It has to be written like this. That's considered incorrect spelling. Not that there are two spellings of the word Moshe, two spellings of the word Aharon, two spellings of the word Daka, Tzua Daka. No. This is a different word. It's supposed to be written Ashaloh, Lo Choma, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Vav. They're two different words, not two spellings of the same word. The Halacha Moshe Misina requires the Kriya Ksiv should be written this word, and you wrote the wrong word, so that would puzzle. That's what the later Poskim thought, that this idea of the Minchas Chinuch is not there. Minchas Chinuch just lived a little over 100 years ago. So they think that that's an einfall, what he said. They think that that may be correct. And they raise the question, what about Na'aro? We have in Tanakh, sometimes the word Na'aro is spelled Nunayin Resh Hei, the way we spell it. And most of the time Na'aro is spelled Nunayin Resh. and it's pronounced Naharo. So when you have Nun Ayin Resh, is that a Kriya Ksiv? It's written Na'ar, and the pronunciation is Na'aro. So that's a Kriya Ksiv. So if you spell it Nun Ayin Resh Hey, even the Minchas Chinuch will say that it's possible for the Eved, because that's a Kriya Ksiv. It has to be written a different word. What do you say? No. In Biblical Hebrew, there are two correct spellings for the word Na'aro. It's not that you wrote a different word. It's not that there's a word Na'ar. It's not a Kriya Ksiv. You've got to write Na'ar, which is one word, and you have to read it Na'aro. No. This is the correct spelling. The two correct spellings of the word Na'aro. Like the Tzua Daka, there are two correct spellings. One is in accordance with the Masorah, and one is not. But that wouldn't possible. So this is a suffix. If one should assume, like the Minchas Chinuch, what would you say regarding Na'aro? If it's supposed to be spelled Nun Ayin Resh, and you spelled the Nun Ayin Resh, hey, is that in violation of a Kriya Ksiv, so to say, if a Torah would be possible yet? But they say, no. They're both correct spellings of the word Na'aro. And you should just correct it, L'chatchila, that it should conform with the Masorah, but it wouldn't possible for you. So there is a topic of Kriya Ksiv. There is an institution of Kriya Ksiv that's mentioned in the Dorim Daf Lamed Ches. The Kriya Ksiv is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, and the Minchas Chinuch thinks that Kriya Ksiv is Makir B'Dieved. All other mistakes in the Sefer Torah, if it's a correct spelling, if it's an acceptable spelling in a dictionary, the only thing is that it's not in accordance with the Masorah, he thinks it doesn't possible B'Dieved. But if it's a mistake in Kriya Ksiv, he thinks that possible B'Dieved. So we usually take it that that's the Machlokes HaTanaim here. When you have a conflict between the Kri and Ksiv, do you pass them like the Ksiv or do you pass them like the Kri? Do you say Yeshem LaMikra, you follow the Kri, or do you say Yeshem LaMasores, you follow the Masoretic text, that's the Ksiv. When you read through the Gemara, you see that that's not correct. The Gemara suggested that at one point, that maybe the only time there's a Machloikas HaTanai is when you have a Kri and Ksiv, and the Gemara says no. Even if there's no Kri or Ksiv, there's still a Machloikas HaTanai. Like Lo Sebashal Gedi Bachaleivimo. There's no Kriya Ksiv over there. Bachaleivimo, that's the way it's spelled and that's the way we read it. There's nothing incorrect. There's no problems over there. There's no Kriya Ksiv over there. But the Gemara still asks, kvetches, how do you know that it's Bachaleivimo? Maybe it's Bachaleivimo. What do you mean Bachale? That's not the Kri. That's not the way we read it. According to the way you read it, we know that it's Bachaleivimo. It's Bosom Bachalim, it's not Bosom Bachale. And it's not a Kriya Ksiv. There's nothing fishy with the way it's written. That's the only way to spell Basa B'cholav is B'chalev. Ches Lamed Bein. It's the only way to write it. What do you want? Or V'tama Shvuayim Kenido So. So the Gemara says, maybe it's V'tama Shivim. Harine Shvuayim, maybe it's Shivim. That's not a Kriya Ksiv. So the other one, Karnos and Karnas, that you can say is a Kriya Ksiv. Also not so much. Karnos Amitech, it's a Moli and a Chosu. It's also not a Kriya Ksiv. A Moli and Chosu. Also not. For the whole Gemara you see that the Machlokes HaTanaim, Yeshem HaMikra, Yeshem HaMasoris, it's not really a topic within the concept of Kriya Ksiv. How do you deal with the Kriya Ksiv? It has nothing to do with a Kriya Ksiv. It's a very strange topic. Why should you say Yeshem LaMasoris? What do you mean? You just take the text. I remember I had a professor here. He taught in the The Oil of Mamas already. Some of they straighten them out. He said, when he learns Mishnayos, he goes like this. He covers over the Bar Tanur and the Tzitzit. He just looks at the text of the Mishnayos. And he came up with the stupidest interpretation. Didn't know how to pronounce the words. He would mispronounce the words. Say everything wrong. He doesn't want to be blinded. He doesn't want to be led astray by the Bar Tanur, the Tzitzit Yantav, who quote all the Gemaras and tell you about God. He's like Moshe Rabbeinu, Piagvura. He's going to say Pshat and Pshat. So that's what the Gemara sounds like over here. You take the text of the Tanakh, you take the text of the Chumash, and you don't look at the Nekudas, and you read it however you don't please. What do you mean? What do you mean? It says the Thomas Shvuayim Kenidosa. How does it have a minute to read with Thomas Shivim? That's not the correct reading. That's incorrect. It's very politic. We don't understand what's going on here. What does it mean? Yeshem Lama Soret. He just ignore the Nekudas and ignore all the traditions. You just read the letters the way they read and your Paskin Halachas, whatever you please. Very strange Gemara. Very strange. Anyway, that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. Yeshem LaMikra or Yeshem LaMaser. Are there any Nachkeminas Halacha LaMaiser between the Tanaim? Whether Yeshem LaMikra or Yeshem LaMaser, or is it just whatever one Tana darshins, whatever results one Tana gets one way, the other Tana stands on his head and he arrives at the same result from a different way. Like a tefillin. They all agree there were four parshas in its own. So one says the Yeshem, whatever, la mikra. The other one has totafos. He comes to the same result. Over Talmud Shvuayim Kenidno. So they all come to the same result. No nafkimina la'alokh. Are there any issues where there is a nafkimina la'alokh? So the Gemara says, sure there are. It's not just the question, they all agree. Bottom line, they all agree, they're just arguing, how did you derive it? Yeah, the Gemara has quite a few nafkiminas. So one famous nafkimina, Tosfos quotes from Croesus. That's very famous. There's an institution of Ashim Toloi. Ashim Toloi Heis, if a person realizes that he was Mechal Shabbos B'Shogig, that he ate Chel of Adam B'Shogig, he has to bring a carbon chasas kvua, a kizbo sira. If he's not sure if he was Mechal Shabbos, not sure if he ate Chel of Adam, then he brings an Ashim Toloi. So the Ashim Toloi is Toloi V'Yemen. It gives him a temporary kapara. Until it'll be in his barer what happened. So if it turns out that he did not do the Aveira, so sure, okay, so he's off the hook, fine. So what did he bring the Ashim Toloi for? Because he needed a temporary kapara, just in case he did do the Aveira, then he shouldn't just sit around without any carbon. So he brought the Ashim Toloi. And if it turns out later on that he did do the Aveira for sure, then he's not Yaitim with the Ashim Toloi, then he has to bring a Chatos Kvua later on. So there is a machlokes hatanaim regarding this institution of Ashim Toloi. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. Do you bring an Ashim Toloi if you ate a piece of fatty meat and you're simply not sure whether what you ate was chelev or shuman? Or do you only have the obligation to bring an Ashim Toloi if there's a chaticha achas mishtei chatichas? If there were two chatichas, there was one piece of chelev and one piece of shuman, and they got confused with each other, and you ate one of the two, and you don't know which one. So that's called Ikva Yisuro. It's a Tarubis. It's a Sufik of Tarubis. That's the story. A different kind of a Sufik. If you have a pair of glasses, and you don't know, is this metal, is it plastic, is it sand? I don't know what it is. That's a Sufik. But if I have two pairs of glasses, one is plastic and one is metal, that's a Tarubis. I know for sure one is plastic, one is metal. I just don't know which is which. That's a different kind of a Sufik. So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Are you only chayv Ashim Toloi if there was a chaticha achas mishtei chatichas, there was a tarubis, so it's an ikva yisura? Or do you say even if there's only one chaticha, a sofik avera, so you chayv in Ashim Toloi? So the Gemara increases, Tosfos quotes that. That's the most famous case. The Gemara increases says that depends on this machlokes hatanoim. Whether yeshem ha-mikra, yeshem la-masor, because it says in the pasuk, v'asa achas, nikol mitzvah Hashem ha-shalosi ha-seno, the Oshema. So it says, Nikol Mitzvah Hashem, there's a Kriya Ksiv, so to speak. It's not really a Kriya Ksiv. The way we pronounce it is Nikol Mitzvah Hashem, plural. But the way it's written, it only has one vowel. So you could have read it Mitzvah. You're not supposed to read it Mitzvah. It's not the correct pronunciation, it's not the correct reading. But one could have, if you cover over all of a portion, you don't look at the Nikudas, you could have misread it Nikol Mitzvah Hashem. So the Gemara says, according to the Tanu who says, Yeshem la masores, and you ignore what the Nekudas are, and you can read the Pasuk, Mikol Mitzvah. So all you need is one Chaticha. But if you hold Yeshem la Mikra, you have to follow the Kri, and the Kri is Mitzvos. So Mitzvos is in the plural, so that means you have to have Chaticha Achas, Mishtei Chaticha. That's the famous Nafkimina. There, the Rama Pashma is that you have to have Dakpa Ikva Isura. You only chayv in Ashim Toloi if it's Chaticha Achas, Mishtei Chatichas. In other words, he paskins that it's Yeshem La Mikra, the way the Kri is, not according to the way it's written. Yeah, what do we have on our daf? A few Nafkiminas, Lidina, whether Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Mikra. Some of them are just. One Tana derives it this way, the other Tana stands on his head and derives the same thing another way. Whether it's, how do you know Tfilin needs four batim? Everybody agrees Tfilin have four parshiyos. There's no machlekes on it. The one nafkimina is the shamayim b'filo. Whether the carbon chatos, lechatfilin, we know you need four zrikas. How many zrikas on the akad of the yevet? Only one is me'akad of the yevet? Or do you say no? Two on the akad of the yevet. So that's a major nafkimina with Dina. Okay. What else is the machlekes hatanoim? How many defanas do you need in the sukkah? Do you need shtayim gilchosam? What does it mean gilchosam? L-shape. Arivon. That are at right angle to each other. If you have two that are parallel to each other, you can't rely on Shlishas Apilat Teva. At Vishtaim Ki Hilchasam Ki Hilchasam means, according to the tradition, tradition means the Arivo, not the L-shape. Shlishas Apilat Teva. So that's the way we paskin. Reb Shimon requires Sholosh Ki Hilchasam Revius Apilat Teva. So the Gemara has one possibility. Gemara, there is Sukkah, gives another five possibilities. One possibility is that the Machlekes HaTanoim hinges, this Machlekes hinges on this, the derivation of the Machlekes hinges on this issue. Whether Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasor, we follow Basukois, 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 or Basukas. Do you follow the Ksiv or do you follow the Kli? Yeah. That's the Machlekes, the derivation. How do you derive whether Shtayim Kilchas, Meshlish, Safilot Tefach, HaShalosh, what is the Nikudas HaMachlekes though? After you've already derived it, so what is the point of dispute that they're fighting about? So that the Gemara Sukkah explains. The point that they're fighting about is whether Sukkah Diras Keva Bino or Sukkah Diras Aroi Bino. Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanoim. They give you a list of around 7-8 Tanoim who think Diras Keva Bino. They don't all say the same thing. One Tana says, Rabbi Yehuda says in the first Mishnah, Sukkah that's Lamaila Metzer Mamas Kosher, because it's okay, Diras Keva Bino. One Tana says the Sukkah has to be Dalar Amas al Dalar Amas. It's not good enough if it's Zayin al Zayin. That'll puzzle most of the Sukkahs. Many Sukkahs are not Dalar Amas al Dalar Amas. Many Sukkahs are not Dalar Amas wide. So one Tana insists you have to have the Sukkah should be so big, Dalar Amas al Dalar Amas, because Sukkah Diras Keva Bino. One Tana says the Sukkah needs a mezuzah, even though it's only up for 7 days. Sukkah needs a mezuzah because it's a diras keva. One Tana says you got to have sholosh kolchos and revius afilat tefach because you need a diras keva. One Tana says if you have a teepee it's no good because you need a diras keva. You have to have walls and a roof at a right angle to each other. If it's just like this, it's no good because it's a diras aroi. So each Tana has a different aspect. They don't necessarily agree with each other. Gemara says atzad hashav shabahem. They all hold a certain aspect, each one based on a different mocker. Each one holds a different mocker, but leading up to the same theme, that Sukkah has to be Diras Keva. We don't pass in the whole story. In every single case, we pass in Diras Aroi. Or the Gemara says in Sukkah in the first pair, a Sukkah has to have a floor also. Not only does it need Tfanis and Tzchach, has to have a floor. So the question is, how sturdy does the floor have to be? What if you'll sit on a floor, have a Sukkah that's suspended on a tree? And the floor of the Sukkah is very shvachlach. So if I'll sit on the floor, it's going to be very wobbly. It's going to wobble a lot. But it'll list. So is that a kosher Sukkah? The Gemara says it's a machlokes satanai. If you hold Sukkah diras aroi, it's good even if the floor is wobbly. If you hold the Sukkah, has to be diras keva, so it's no good. The floor cannot wobble. So it'll be a puzzle of Sukkah if the floor is wobbly. So the Gemara says that this Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan, where the Shtayim Golchos Meshlishi Safil Tefa, or Sholosh Revi Safil Tefa, this is part of that big Machlekes, but the Sukkah has to be a Diras Keva, a Sukkah Diras Arai. The issue in derivation is whether Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasoros. But the issue in definition of what the Machlekes is whether Diras Keva, Diras Arai. And then there was another Machlekes, what's the din of Revi Dam Habo Mishnei Meisim? Is it Natami Bohel or not? Revi is Dam and Ameis is Natami Bohel Kemeis. What about Revi is Dam Bohel Mishnei Meisim? Is that Mitzaref or not? I'll call Nafshas Meis. It's written Nafshas, but you read it Nafshos. So do you follow the pronunciation Nafshos? Revi is Dam Bohel Mishnei Meisim, or do you follow the way it's written? You could have read it Nafshas. It's an incorrect reading. But you could have read it Nafshas, according to the one Tana, you follow just the text of the Chumash and you ignore even the Nekudas. So there has to be Bomi Meisech. So maybe tomorrow, maybe we'll continue Chazorah tomorrow, maybe we'll pick up from this topic. But the Revi is Dam, the famous text was there, we spent a lot of time on it. When is the midterm supposed to be? Sometime next week, I'm finished.